Ich lüge both. I'm such an idiot.
Look, you believed it because you wanted to believe it. Your true feelings were too gross and icky for you to face.
I did not want them dead.
You did too.
I did not.
Did too.
I did not.
Did too.
I did not.
Did too.
Did not.
Did too.
Did not. Did not. Did not. Did not. I did not want them to.
Oh, come on, you
Mary
did.
Had
you just
a
not.
Little lamb, little lamb, little lamb.
I know what you.
Young love. Did you hear? School's canceled today because Kurt and Ram killed themselves in a repressed homosexual suicide pact.
No way.
Football season is over, Veronica. Kurt and Ram had nothing to offer the school but date rapes and AIDS jokes.
Sure. Can we make an ice run before the funeral?
If there's any way you can hear me, Kurt, buddy. I don't care that you really were some pansy. You're my own flesh and blood, and no, you made me proud. My son's a homosexual, and I love him. I love my dead gay son.
Now, coming to you from the CD Game Exchange Studio, deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio, this is the Rick Emerson Show.
The name of that righteous dude, Jesus Christ. Why, hello. It's 3 minutes. That's the best movie line ever that I love my
that
decade.
That really
song.
Is.
I know that you're not supposed to reference the joke after you make it. I know you're supposed to play something like that and then not acknowledge it and you're supposed to move forward. But really... we really do have to take just a second here. We have to stop down, as they say, and just acknowledge that may be the funniest line ever written in any movie ever. Anytime. Oh, fantastic. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Why, greetings and salutations, my friends. Mi compadres, my chums. It is 3 minutes and 38 seconds after the hour of 11 and this, the month of July in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming along and making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It is Monday, and welcome to day 12. If you'd like to join us today, it's 503-733-2970. The answer is not found in the MTV video games. I almost used that speech, but it's not quite long enough. There's really only about 15 seconds to it. Fantastic, nonetheless. What is the name of the town? It's like Andrewsville, Alexville. It starts with an A, I think, the town in Heathers, because she goes to Westerburg High. But it's something Ohio. It's like Andrews, Ohio, Anderson, Ohio. But there's that line where I think it's where they're in church at the funeral for what's-her-name, for Shannon Doherty. And the priest says something, we say goodbye to Andrewsville's Little
Anderson.
Eskimo. Anderson's?
Yeah.
Little Eskimo. An igloo of pain. All right. If you want to join us today via the telephone for whatever reason, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You'd like to call us today about your what have you, your comments, your questions, your clarifications, your conventions. It's 503-733-2970. You want to email us? You can do that as well. It's rick at rickemerson.com. That is my primary email address there. Rick at rickemerson.com. Other folks here, Sarah at 970.am, Tim at 970.am, Scotty J, or Skeggy, at 970.am. And again, our phone lines are open. Scotty J standing by eagerly, salivating with the anticipation, with anticipatory excitement at the thought of screening your calls. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. And we'll get to other things here. Just, by the way, if you are a fan of Heathers, there's a new version of that DVD. Not brand new, but it came out a couple years ago. Because they put Heathers out on DVD in like 99. It was kind of bare bones. Nothing really on it by way of extras. Not a whole lot of bonus features on there. you want to check out the new version of Heathers, which is out on DVDs, DVD, which has commentary from Daniel Waters, who wrote the screenplay. It's also got the woman who was the producer and then the guy who directed it, as well as a 30-minute documentary feature called Swatch Dogs and Diet Cokeheads, The Making of Heathers, which is just fantastic. And all the players come back. Winona Ryder's there, Christian Slater's there, everybody involved with writing and directing that movie, which really is one of the greatest teen films of all time. I mean, I'm saying for me, I put it in the all-time top five high school movies.
Well, it's totally a fantasy film for people who were screwed with in high school.
Totally, and it's fantastic because, I mean, and I know I've made this observation like 1,000 times, but it's also great because it's both a time, well, you go back and you watch, and this has become a recurring theme in the show where we get distracted at the top of the show by spending 20 minutes talking about whatever film we just played a speech from. But I do have to say this. The great thing about Heathers is it is both of its time and timeless in that if you go back, because it's made, it was made in the 80s, it was like from 86, 87, something like that. But if you go back and watch it, the film is sort of strangely timeless in that it doesn't really look like an 80s film. If you look at the way people are dressed, they sort of have their own sort of non-generational fashion sense, especially the three girls who are the Heathers. They all kind of dress in this style that's kind of 80s, but not really. So it is held, it hasn't dated the way a lot of those 80s teen films have. And also it is sort of very specifically pre-1998 in that you could never make that movie post-Columbine. It would just never have. There's no studio on Earth, no major studio anyway. I mean, that would really have to be like the most independent of the independent studios to make a movie. And even then, back in 87, they had to change the ending. The ending, which I believe the original ending had Winona Ryder blowing up the entire school. And then the whole finale is just a prom in heaven, where there's just all of the dead students having their prom in heaven, literally. Whatever. And then it ends with Martha Dump Truck singing some song on stage. And then the credits roll. Okay, we're done. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. Here's what's coming up in today's exciting program. Here's what you have to know. I walked in today, and Scotty was already at the computer, hunkered down, pecking out a letter to, I swear to God, Dick Van Patten from 8 is Enough, who he is now bent on getting on the program. I don't know why. I don't know from whence this derives. I don't know what prompted it. But I came in today, and Scotty was all hunched over the keyboard like one of those thousand monkeys banging out the works of Shakespeare. And he was a whole lot of, like, and the typing with two fingers, pointer finger on each hand. Hunkered down at your dear Dick Van Patten. I am a huge fan. Would you please? He seems to be convinced, and you know what this is? This is latent guilt over failing to get Gabe Kaplan on the show. He can't get some broken-down star from 170 sitcom, bam, moves on to Dick Van Patten. He does think we'll be able to get him, though, so we'll talk about that later. Lisa Goddard's going to join us today. I'm going to talk about the campaign finance, because campaign 2008 shaping up to be the greatest political election of our lifetime. So we'll talk about that later. Rachel McGrath. Let me just say this about Rachel McGrath from CNN, who's going to be joining us later, about the $660 million that the L.A. Diocese has to fork over to a bunch of kids that the priests kept stooping over the years. I have now screwed three different interviews with Rachel. The first time I had her on, I called her Rebecca. The second time I had her on, when she was on hold listening, I referred to her upcoming news segment as, quote, a bunch of blather, end quote. And then last week, I asked her favorite Billy Joel song, completely forgetting that I'd already done that, thus indicating to her that I found her forgettable. So we'll see what I can do today. I should just go back and use one of the other ones. I'll just ask her the Billy Joel question again, like a third time. See what she does. So we'll talk to Rachel McGrath. We have Clyde Lewis going to join us later on today. Our good friend Chris Sneathan, who blogs over at OregonLive.com, He was at Lincoln City this weekend where, what's his name, Joey Chestnut, the new world eater, ate 8 pounds of ribs in something like 4 minutes. So Sneathan was there. He sent me some great photos from his phone where there was, I swear to God, a man in like a barbershop quartet outfit with a straw hat while Joey Chestnut just put his face into a big pile of pork ribs. So we'll talk to Chris Sneathan about Joey Chestnut. And then I swear to you this is true. Scotty has a very, very peculiar, I don't mean to knock it, but it's sort of a scattershot approach to who he guests, books guest-wise and who he does not. So we're not able to get Gabe Kaplan, but he thinks we can get Dick Van Patten. He doesn't get us Alice Cooper, but he gets us that, I've already blocked his name out, what's Jack Scalia on Friday. And what really will go down
is... studio, I think. Isn't he like this week or something?
No, it's next Monday. I think he's going to be in the studio. We'll just go down as the worst interview in the history of this program. He's trying to get Scott Baio on, but doesn't know whether that's going to happen. But then today...
In studio?
I don't know. I don't know, baby. I just read what's on the screen from him. But today we're talking apparently to City Commissioner Dan Saltzman. Tim just gave me the look. Tim just gave me the... What kind of a program has this become? Look. Here's the thing about City Commissioner Dan Saltzman. I don't know really who he is or what that position does. I don't really know what the city commissioner is responsible for. I don't really know what his job duties entail. I don't really even know if he has any impact on my life at all. All I know is that we were sitting next to him at the PDX Teen Idol contest. It was like some musician, Mrs. Oregon, Scotty, me, some music producer, and then City Commissioner Dan Saltzman, who they kept referring to that way. It's like they were required to say his full name and title. And now, City Commissioner Dan Saltzman, who apparently is some sort of politician. He's some sort of political fat cat, as they say. I made this passing comment to Scotty. I'm like, we got to get that guy in the show. Ha-ha. And so apparently he'll be joining us today at 1 o'clock. I don't know what to ask him.
Maybe we can ask Lacey. She'd know.
I don't think I want to ask Lacey anything today. Lacey Turner, who was our...
I love her, but she's a little scary today.
She's our public affairs director. When you hear PSAs or exciting public affairs programming at 4 o'clock on Sunday morning, that's Lacey Turner, who's in a terrible mood today and was screaming at the top of her lungs that one of her coworkers was a filthy pig. It was fantastic.
That could be any number of people.
It really could. So we have Commissioner Dan Saltzman coming up at 1 o'clock. I will, at that point, pretend that I know what I'm doing. Maybe I'll ask him about this business of taking Night Train wine off the shelves downtown. That's something that affects our constituency.
Ask him about the restrooms open all night.
That's a good question. I will ask him about that.
And I have something else that'll... Oh, this will get your dander up. They're closing the Burnside Bridge for 3 years. Or is it two? Well, maybe three.
What do you mean?
They're fixing the Burnside Bridge again, so they're closing it.
I don't understand.
They're closing the bridge.
What do you mean?
To repair. You can't go on it.
For 3 years?
Yeah, something like that.
What?
The Burnside Bridge.
I don't understand. But that doesn't make any sense.
They've been constructing it for like 2 years.
Well, they're going to construct it again.
Why do they even have that bridge there?
I don't know. They ought to tear it down.
Seriously,
what
is that? Is that bridge just decorative?
I don't know. Let me make sure I have the right place.
Seriously, I don't understand. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little adenoidal.
Hang on. I'll be right back.
Okay, I'm going to reserve my anger. Tim has actually left the room. I'm going to keep my anger in check. All right, that's all coming up. Plus, we will begin auditioning kissers for Scotty J's Stop Smoking campaign. We'll ask Scotty J, by the way, what his preferred method of smoking cessation will be as we audition men who will stand by to give him a succulent peck on the ear should he fall off the wagon. I think our first kissing guy, he's a straight guy, right? Our first guy is Andy or
Chad?
Eric? Chad.
Is Chad coming in today?
I think we have Chad at 2 o'clock.
Oh, okay. It's not 3 years. It's only 3 weeks. But you know it's going to end up to be three years.
All right,
anyway.
Boy, seriously. You just... My agita just...
Yeah, I know, because I use my bridge.
But you are right in that you know that's an underestimated figure.
They close it down every week for something.
Mm. Oh, sons of bitches. All right.
Fixing the pulley of the little wheels that go around.
You are right, though. We ought to get some guy in a gondola... though, that just rows across with a big handlebar mustache, you know, and a red and white stripy shirt.
It looks like I'm on a KUFO t-shirt, and a keychain, and a pint glass. Well, I think I took somebody else's mail.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
It says, congratulations, you won a KUFO t-shirt. Congratulations, you won a KUFO keychain. Apparently, they have lots. I want a coffee mug and a pint glass.
Okay.
Somebody else's mail.
Anywho, we're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Why, hello.
Well, good morning.
And how are you?
I'm doing well.
All right.
I actually, for the first Saturday of, can't even remember in years, I sat at home and watched a movie.
Really?
I did not go out.
Did you go out? Did you drink at home instead?
No, I didn't drink at all.
Really?
No, I just sat, Raul and I, yep, because I finished watching the second season of Lost.
Right.
Oh my God, that is the greatest show ever. Finished watching that and then, ended up renting some movies. Started watching Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
Fell asleep halfway through it, but that is a really neat movie.
It really is. It's fantastic.
Yeah, so I got a lot of rest and then went to the river yesterday.
How were the Super Suckers?
Oh, they were amazing.
Because I went to see RoboCop on Friday. I did not go to the... I didn't go to the... Because there was a birthday party for our friend Bozic, and then the Super Suckers played afterward. Mm-hmm. But at the same... There was, like, overlapping with the Court and Fatboy RoboCop thing, and Laura had never seen RoboCop, so we went to that.
Well,
so.
They mixed around... Sabal's is completely different now.
Really?
Too. Yeah, the bar isn't in the back part anymore. It's way over on the side. And it has all this weird, like, mirror paneling behind it and stuff. You feel like you're not in Portland.
Really? Is it cool or is it...
It was pretty cool. They got to... Well, Keebler and, like, all the usual guys are still there.
Right.
Well, most of them. And it was very different. There's a lot more room in there, but it was packed for the Super Suckers. Yeah. It was amazing to see them.
And you said they just played forever and ever and ever.
Yeah, they played for a really long time. And, yeah, definitely got your money's worth.
Excellent. Fantastic.
And then went and sat in the sun yesterday. What did you do?
I just sat around at 8. I went to see RoboCop on Friday night with Lara because she'd never seen RoboCop, and we tried to support Court and Fatboy because they do their thing. So we went with Aaron and Jen to see RoboCop, which is just fantastic. And, you know, and this isn't nostalgia talking because I have not seen RoboCop in probably 15 years. I don't think I've seen RoboCop since I was in high school, actually. And so I remembered just the broadest strokes about it. And we saw it on the big screen, and it was just as good as I remembered. I mean, that movie, in terms of just like a fantastic, ultra-violent, just dystopian satire, it totally holds up. RoboCop is fantastic. So it was that great thing where I hadn't seen the movie in so long. I forgot a lot of the great catchphrases and lines until just before they happened. And so it would be like a second and a half before a catchphrase would happen. It would all come back to me. I'm like, oh, yeah! And then he would say the line. And it was just a great movie. It was a great, fun experience. RoboCop, and the sequel's still below, I'm sure. But having not seen it for like a decade and a half, RoboCop is still just a fantastic film.
So who is RoboCop? Who's the actor in the suit?
Peter Weller.
Okay.
Have you ever seen RoboCop, the original?
Uh-uh.
It is great. It's so great. It is just a legitimately fun, wonderful, just darkly hilarious. It's a real black comedy. It really is one. It's a fantastic movie. I forgot how great it was.
Did you hear Court and Fatboy say that they might have singles for one of their movies?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, I did.
I will not miss that. I'm putting that on the record
now. I'm all over that. So I saw RoboCop, and then Lara was gone. She went to that hippie, what is that goddamn country fair thing in Eugene or whatever? A bunch of guys in Dr. Seuss hats not bathing. And so she went to that, and so I just sat around with the air conditioner on, watched the Godfather box set all the way through. Now I'm watching it all the way through with the commentary on. So that was my weekend.
Even three?
No.
Okay.
No. What do you mean? No. Of course not. I don't even acknowledge that exists. Working on the following stories for your edification today is Tim Riley.
A cat saves the life of a Gresham woman with a broken neck as their home catches on fire. A Troutdale man dies after falling off an estacaded cliff. A Kirkland man's neck is broken from a fan after he falls on him at Yankee Stadium. An earthquake in Japan triggers a fire and a radioactive water leak at a nuclear power plant. And there are the usual mixed signals from Iraq. Their prime minister claims, oh, they can handle the security system without the U.S. and we can leave at any time. The president would like to speak with the prime minister of Iraq. Privately behind closed doors today.
Fantastic. Bring all the things in your desk with you, please. All right, fantastic. By the way, I'm just going to read this headline, then we'll take these calls, then we'll touch to Scotty. Amputee thanks God that he survived attack with his own prosthetic leg. I could read the story, but what's the point? Everything you need is right there. Man savagely beaten with his own leg. Thanks God he survived it.
Yes.
There you go. All right, fantastic. Let's see. Well, okay, what else? Well, let's get these calls, and then we'll... Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you on this fine Monday?
Hey, Rick. I just wanted to thank you for turning me on to the Shield, and I'm not quite up to speed on the current season, but I did go over to CD Game Exchange and purchase Season 5.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for supporting our advertisers.
Absolutely. Two observations I had. Number one, Forrest Whitaker is amazing.
He is badass. That is the best acting he's ever done.
So great. Secondly, I felt physically ill after that scene with Lem and Shane in the season finale.
Totally.
That show just makes me want to go jump off my deck.
The Shield is a great program, but it is a constant series of kicks to your groin. It really
Absolutely.
Is. I was just talking to somebody about this last night. My friends, Nate and Patrick and Jarrett and I, we were all kind of hanging out doing a thing, and we were talking, and as it always does, discussion of The Shield came up. And we were talking about how The Shield is great, but it's just great at the same time that it's just constantly punching you in the teeth with a pair of brass knuckles. I mean, it's just, it is the best show on television right now, with the possible exception of The Wire, which is also brilliant. But The Shield is unbelievable, and you got to catch up, because this next season that's coming up on FX is the final season.
Right on. Hey, thanks, Rick. I appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, sir. There you go. CD Game Exchange, kids. Thank you for getting it there. All right. I don't even know what I'm doing here. Shield something rather well before while we. Well, who are you on the? Are you on the phone with Dick Van Patten's people, Scotty?
Oh, jeez.
You're on the Scotty. Okay, God bless him. Here's the. Can I just tell you?
Scott Baio is available.
Well, he's doing that 45 and single show, right?
Yeah, that was. I watched the first one of that over the weekend.
Scotty, let me just tell you what Scotty's doing right now. This is why Scotty's claiming he can't come into the studio. Scotty is on the phone right now, and I don't mean. How do I put this? I don't wish to discourage Scotty, because he really has just this relentless zeal in the face of just overwhelming odds. Do you know what I mean? It really does remind me, and I've told this story a couple times, but it does remind me of that time, and this was not really zeal, this was just because she wasn't all that bright about certain things. The time that Christina Carlson, one of our former producers, was on the phone trying to call the Pope, because she wasn't Catholic, and so she didn't understand that you can't just do that. And so I was like, yeah, I joked. I'm like, well, we got to get somebody from the Vatican on to talk about this latest child diddling episode or whatever. And I walk by one of the cubicles, and she's on the phone like, yes, I'd like to talk to the Pope. yes, can I? Is the Holy See available? Am I? But it didn't really work. So Scotty, God bless him, just runs full force right into these propellers in trying to get certain guests on the phone. So Scotty's apparently on the phone right now. Trying to book the rock band Rush onto this radio program. I'm just saying I don't wish to squash his kibosh or whatever it is they say. But I don't
maybe
think
they're opening for Dick Van Patten.
I don't think that's really going to work. I don't think he will be successful in booking the band Rush, but who I guess are coming to the Clark County Amphitheater at some point. But I mean, you know, God bless him. I don't want to stomp all over his ambition and so forth. So, are you on hold right now? Oh, no, he's... Okay, I didn't think so.
Is he scheduling him right now?
Yeah, can you raise my level over here?
And uh-huh.
We'll just find out.
Scotty J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, can I kiss you on the mouth? Please let me.
Good morning, Metolia.
Fantastic. Hello, Scotty J. How are you?
Good morning, Zigzag. Yeah, you totally caught me by surprise, so I had to think of something off the top of my head. Yes.
Look at you.
It hurts.
Zigzag's a real play. Improvising hurts. Thinking and math is hard. What's the deal with Rush?
Well, I'm talking to the amphitheater folks who are then going to lead me to them.
It's not
going to
be successful.
It is being presented by another radio station, but they do not have the exclusive on talking with them. So... I said we're big fans.
Well, no, I mean, don't get me wrong. If you can book, as I always say about these things, it's like that day. Who was it you were trying to get on the program that one time?
Alice.
No, because I knew that wasn't going to happen. It was somebody really big you were trying to book on the show, and it was just somebody, it was like Tom Petty or somebody.
Oh,
and
that's right.
And I told you, I'm like, you know, that's not going to work, and I don't say that to be discouraging. I'm just telling you my gut feeling is it won't work, but you know what? You've done things before that I didn't think were possible, so more power. No, seriously, more power to you.
I think Scotty J can do anything he sets his mind to.
If there's somebody in this room who can get the rock band Rush on the program, it will be you.
That would be sweet.
If I had to lay odds right now, I would take a position against that, but I'm saying, you know,
okay,
whatever.
So if I do.
All right, well, if you do, you know, then I'll be impressed.
Is it no more bottle?
I don't think you need any more bottles. I don't think you need any more of that right now. I think you do with a good rest from that. All right.
There are other Alices you can get. What about Linda Lavin?
Hey, that's a good idea.
Instead of Alice Cooper, just every other Alice.
Uh-huh. Don't put ideas in my mind.
Hold on. Who else is there?
Oh, no, I know. That's not a good idea.
Linda Lavin.
I'll make it happen.
That's the only Alice I can think of. Oh, no. Ambie Davis from the Brady Bunch.
I think she's
dead. Oh, yeah. No, she's not.
She's alive.
Now, why would you want to talk to her?
Why would I want to talk to Linda Lavin?
You're right.
Linda Lavin was on The Sopranos, though. She played Meadow's psychiatrist for two episodes. Ambie Davis. Was Ambie Davis Large Marge in Pee-wee's Big Adventure? Tell him Large Marge sent you. Was that Ambie Davis? I don't think it was. That was just some other woman. We've really gone off the path here.
Yeah.
And we are off the path, and I do need to say one thing real fast, that I have watched the last two episodes of Entourage for the first time.
Last night.
That show.
Let's talk about how great last night's Entourage was.
Didn't see it last night.
Jaw-dropping. Oh, so great. So great. And I know I'm a broken record with this, but that show, you keep waiting for it to suck, and they somehow manage to keep it fresh, and they're reinventing it. It's genius. All right, couple things here. Hey, Gabe Kaplan, so you failed to book Gabe Kaplan. I'm just going to keep a list of things. I'm going to get a whiteboard over here and write down things Scotty has failed at.
Why? You should write things that he's accomplished.
I mean, where's a post-it?
How big was Gabe Kaplan's appearance here? Is there any buzz on the street about that?
Let me tell you, Tim. I'm glad you asked that question, Tim Riley. So, Gabe Kaplan...
I can still get him.
He was on... He's gone. He left town.
No. The gal said last week that he wasn't feeling well. He was well enough to go to AM Northwest. But
he was well enough to... Nobody
said he could possibly talk this week.
Right. So he was on AM Northwest, and then he was at Powell's Friday night reading from his book. Our friend Jeff Klein went to see him there. Because Jeff has this device that he sells. It's like poker... This is not a paid endorsement. I'm simply observing. It's a pretty zinky device, as Nick Twist would say. It's this. It's a little button. It's a poker button that is also a blind timer. It's pretty cool. And Kaplan's a poker guy, so Jeff goes to see him so he can hand him a bunch of these to try to get it out there in the poker world. And I guess Jeff gave him the whole, hey, why weren't you on the Rick Emerson show? And Jeff sent me this text message. Sent me a text message. Apparently he could be lying, but apparently Gabe Kaplan apologized to Jeff. For not being on the Rick Emerson
show. Watch this. I will get a hold of the gal, and we'll mention the name again, and she'll say it to him, and he'll go, okay, I'll talk to them now, and it'll probably happen this week. That'd be great.
Uh-huh. How likely do you think that is?
I'm going to give it an 82.
Okay. Why are you trying to book Dick Van Patten on the program?
It's all about dog food. We're dog lovers here on the Rick Emerson show.
What prompted the Dick Van Patten booking? Dick Van Patten, the father from Eight Is Enough.
Actually, a listener was talking.
Did he just give you the contact info?
Well, he gave me a number for the pet food place.
Uh-huh.
So I called them. Because
he sells dog food. That's his thing, right? Exactly. That's what Dick Van Patten does.
And you know what? It looks good. I think I've seen it in the store. I'm going to try it.
Here's the thing. I walk by the studio, and Scotty yanks me literally by the shirt, pulls me, and he's like, guess what? And I said, what? And he goes, this is right from the show. And he goes, this is the exact phrase Scotty used. He says, Dick Van Patten has a product coming out that's going to revolutionize the pet industry.
Ooh, you're tipping off other media.
It was like you were reciting it right off the press release. It was like you were just reading it straight off the facts they'd sent out from the PR office.
Well, it was hush hush secret.
All
you
right.
weren't supposed to say anything.
All right, so that is your new thing, is you're booking Dick, you're trying to get Dick Van Patten on the program.
And Rush.
I think we have a more important question now,
Scotty. And Scott Baio too.
Yes, we do.
And no, I did not smoke, and I think I'm
over. Are you still wearing the patch?
Yeah.
Let me see.
You are totally and completely lying.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I didn't smoke.
Scotty,
I
know
drink.
You for a year. I know when you're lying.
No, we can get a polygraph.
Okay, let's do it.
You don't have 200.
Honestly.
Okay, let's get a polygraph.
I have a private detective who listens. He can bring
awesome,
a polygraph.
Perfect.
All right.
So
I think that you woke up early on Sunday morning, and you didn't think anyone was around. You got up right before the missus. You said to wander out onto your back porch. You had your little secret stash, and maybe you just had a puff or two.
I don't even have smoke, so I can't even find a lighter.
That's not true. Your wife smokes. They're always around. How far away could they be?
See, that's when you know it's like the little things that trip them up.
Yeah, seriously, when you say you don't even have smoke.
A lighter?
No, I can't find a lighter.
Don't be a tard. Who doesn't own a lighter?
Well,
I have no fire at my house.
In my particular house, they like disappear on a regular basis.
What is your wife? Your wife rubs sticks together to light her cigarettes? Of course, you have a lighter.
Well,
that Sarah's right. That does sound suspicious when you say you don't even own a lighter.
Exactly.
I can't find one. That's for sure. I was looking for one to burn a piece of rope the other day. Not a cigarette.
That sounds like a legitimate answer.
You're giving too many details.
Seriously,
this is a well constructed lie.
Going to light a candle.
Yeah, I was going to light
that. I was
incense.
Going to burn memorial candles for No, that does. This sounds like a fabrication.
Okay,
it sounds like a falsehood.
Polygraph it.
You are claiming that the last cigarette.
I'm on the downward slide.
The last cigarette you had was when?
Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever. Whatever day I said last week, it was like Tuesday because the Monday I had.
Tuesday is when you peeled the patch off. Wednesday is the day you put the patch back on.
Yeah. So
last
Tuesday.
So a week from tomorrow. A week ago tomorrow.
And
you are
I'm downward now.
So is there a way we can test this? Can you do like a swab or something of Scotty's sweat to find out if he's recently smoked?
I don't know if that'll work, but you can. But the reason why is I'm still got the nicotine patch, right?
Right, but I think there's a way to test if you've smoked.
Okay.
All right. So then, I'm
really interested in this polygraph thing.
We have a private detective who I think can bring a polygraph.
Because
in.
Honestly, there's no way we can hold him in. You know that he's a really good liar.
I want to quit, and I'm not a liar. I'm a
I'm
honest
not saying
guy.
You're a liar. I'm saying you're a good one when you choose to lie.
And you have lied. Don't. Don't lie about that. Lying about that right now.
I have never lied.
I believe today we have the first kissing audition, though. We have, I believe, his name is, what was it? Chad, who is a straight man apparently coming in. He wants to do the, he wants to be the first kissing auditioner.
Okay.
And then tomorrow we have Deacon, and I think Wednesday we have Bob.
You got them just lining up.
Which, I don't have them lining up, Scotty. It is your magnetism that has them lining up. So that'll be, I believe, today at 2 o'clock. And then what we have what's-his-name, Commissioner Saltzman coming in today at 1. Or
actually, he's
going to
be,
one.
Yeah, right.
All right,
on the phone.
All right, and we have Chris Neathen at 2. It's a busy program. All right, so Chad may be calling in. He may be emailing. I'm unclear about this. So he'll be confirming with us. Then he'll be coming in today. But it is your claim that you have not had a cigarette since last Tuesday.
That is correct.
All right. Let's see. What else do we have here? We should break here in a second, but let me just make this observation. I don't know if anybody has heard this, and I wish I had audio of this. Lars Larson talks, and I know I do this sort of wackily sometimes, like to be kooky. Do you know that Lars talks about himself in the third person? I wish I had audio.
Oh, you don't? You
no.
can't tease like that and not have audio.
And it's in his commercials. It's when he does ads for products. Lars, while voicing, I heard him talking about it was like some mattress or something. Or something. I forget what it was. It was some company. But he actually says, and the commercial is all voiced by Lars Larson. He comes up and he says, "Hey, this is Lars." And he starts at the beginning and he says, "Hey, this is Lars." And then he talks about the mattress or the whatever the product is. And then at least twice during the ad, he says, "Take it from Lars." It's just the weirdest thing. The guy, like, straight-facedly refers to himself in the third person at least twice during some of his commercial reads. It's just the strangest thing. So I'm going to try to get some audio of that. And have it by the end of the day. All right, we probably have to break here. All of the stuff still not gotten to. I haven't even talked about this thing with the Octo Squid. I haven't talked about this mugshot. Sarah and I haven't even talked about our horrific eating habits this over the weekend. So, all right, let me get these phone calls. Then we'll break. Hi, Rick Emerson Radio Program. Hello.
Hey, Rick. I was wondering if Scotty J could get some of the actors, an interview with some of the actors from The Wire. Maybe some second string, third string actors like Proposition Joe or.
That's actually an interesting thought because The Wire is going to be coming back for its fifth and final season in the immediate future.
Yeah.
So that is something to think about. Actors from The Wire, Scotty.
Yeah, McNulty or Stringer Bell or whatever.
That is great. And some of those guys, and that is a niche program, so they might be amenable to that because it's not like a big network show. So
if you could do that, I'd have to say, God damn.
And I can't even get the hot dog eating champ on here. I don't know.
Thank you. Yeah, you failed at that. All right. And he was in Lincoln City, for God's sake.
He was.
You know, when Tim and I went to see Don Rickles, we were sitting next to, they sat us all next to some women who worked at like the Lincoln City Picayune. It was like four old women who looked like they ought to be kicking somebody out of a country club, and just covered in bad makeup.
They were flirts.
Cheap perfume, totally flirting with us. That was the other thing. Women, I would guess their average age to be 58, 59, completely flirting with Tim and Clyde and I. And it was a whole lot of, "So, young man, what do you do for a living?" And they were like the editor and publisher and like chief editorialist for the Lincoln City newspaper, whatever. They probably got to talk to the hot dog guy. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, it's Chad.
What's up? Oh, Chad, hello, the kisser. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm just calling in to confirm I will be there at 2 o'clock.
Okay, you will be. Now, do you know where we're located? We're on First Avenue. We will be seeing ye at 2 o'clock today to do the kissing audition.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you this. Just what is your read, having been listening, what is your read on Scotty's claim that he has not smoked since last Tuesday?
I don't know, man. I think he could have had a couple puffs here and there. I honestly don't know.
The thing is, you seem like you're in a strangely good mood, Scotty, because I remember the last time you went a few days without smoking, you were just a dick. You were just an absolute a-hole.
Because it takes like 4 days to kind of... You start feeling normal again.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Well, we'll see you at 2 o'clock, Chad.
Sounds good, guys.
Thank you, sir. All right. Is the patch going to be your preferred method of cessation?
That, and I'm looking into, you know, like the OMSI thing. I'm going to call that. I want to have backup. I want
to. Well, you're
succeed.
Allowed to quit by whatever method possible.
Right.
We're simply here to provide punishment for when you quit.
Right. I want to make sure I succeed. I really do want to quit. So we'll see what
God
happens.
Bless you, Scott. Okay, one more and then we'll break. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, Rick. Scotty needs to put his hand on a Bible and swear to God that he did not smoke since last Tuesday.
I don't know if Scotty's a Christian boy.
Scotty's a Protestant, but he doesn't really know what that means.
Yeah,
I think
that
would work. I really think that would work.
How are we going to know which book is correct?
Well, here's the thing: is the people already, I think, are disinclined to believe you because you were being such a girly about sticking to your word last week.
Hey, also, I want to talk to that Dick Van Patten, man. I fed some of that duck and brown rice canned dog food to my dog. He had the runs for 2 days.
His system is cleaning out. That's the deal.
But you're all angry about it. Who says that? I want to talk to that Dick Van Patten right now. You get him on the phone. No that one's food. Ever said that before.
That food. I don't know about that food.
Dick owes me carpet cleaning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now. Okay, we have to break. We'll come back with Lisa Goddard, Tim Riley at the top of the hour with the AM 970 Noon News Hour, Dan Saltzman, Chris Sneed, and Clyde Lewis, and all that. You say there's the Rick Emerson Show. Why, hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up at the top of the hour, Tim Riley later on, Rachel McGrath, also Commissioner Dan Saltzman, Chris Sneathan about Joey Chestnut, and many other things and whatnot. It all kind of fell apart right there. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program from the hit CNN radio correspondent to the stars, Lisa Goddard. Why, hello, how are you today?
Well, hello to you. How's it going?
Dandy, how was your weekend? Well, you probably a busman's weekend, as they say. Probably you were working this weekend, were you not?
No, it was my first weekend off in forever, and it was fantastic. I was actually in Portland, Maine, your sort of sister city, kind of.
We were named after Portland, Maine. It is true.
There we go.
So I think, wasn't there like a coin toss? I think they were either going to name us Portland or Boston. And
No kidding, really?
Yeah, I think they were either going to name our city Portland or Boston, and I think the story is, it may be apocryphal, but I think it is true that Portland, Oregon was named after Portland, Maine.
Hey!
So that is the extent of my Portland, Maine knowledge.
Well, new family, the family of the husband-to-be, there's a bunch of them in Portland, and they actually would like to set up some sort of, via the Rick Emerson Show, giant hello to Portland, Oregon.
Yes.
They say they are fans of.
All right, then.
So there you go.
Fantastic. Hey, let's see. So that's 4 days off for you, by the way, right?
It was amazing, yes.
Yeah, see, and the thing is, the great thing is, it's like swinging three or four bats in the on-deck circle. If you just work all the time, then if you have even like, because my wife doesn't even appreciate this, because my wife gets like 400 vacation days a year, so some unreal, literally just weeks and weeks and weeks of vacation. And so, so much so that she actually has difficulty using it all. She'll give me those pages. Well, I don't know. I got 19 days of vacation left, and she's already, after having taken like 3 weeks. So, but if you don't take any vacation, then 3 days just feel like an eternity. It feels like an eternity on the shores of Jamaica. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, it's amazing. And, I'm doing, I've got 4 days off this coming weekend as well.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's kind of jump into it here. So we've got.
Let's do it.
The opposite ends of the spectrum. We have on the one side, we have the alpha of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama.
Yes.
Who have a $30 million. Is that each?
Yes, more than that, but that's right, yes.
And then
that's a rough approximation.
Then the Omega would be John McCain, who, am I misreading this? Is this 32 or is this 3.2?
It's $3.2 million cash on hand when he was reporting, but he also had debts of nearly $2 million at that time. So it seemed we've now gotten reports that he may have as little as $250,000 on hand as of this weekend.
So at what point does this become a self-fulfilling prophecy where the perception that he is hosed becomes the reality of him being hosed?
He's in a tough spot. In addition to these fundraising numbers, which were not good for him, he also is dealing with the fact that, as we talked about last week, four senior staffers left, and then over the weekend now, basically everyone in his communications department, all of his press staff, I believe another five major staffers have left his campaign.
And
so if you want to get an interview with John McCain, it's going to be tough because he's still moving people around to become his spokesman right now.
Or easy, because it might just be him sitting at a card table inside an empty office.
Right, Bill Murray style. It could be something like that.
Exactly. Just like that one scene on MASH where Henry Blake, having sold off everything in his room, is just sitting inside just a gigantic empty chasm. There was a whole lot of nothing. So, all right. Well, and again, God love him. Maybe he'll pull out of this death spiral he's in, but it does not seem likely. Here's a question. I don't mean to catch you off guard with this, but traditionally speaking, the odd sort of wild card like Steve Forbes notwithstanding, traditionally speaking, has the candidate with the most money at this point in the election won, or at least won the nomination?
At this point, no, not necessarily. It really varies. And what's tricky here is there are a lot of different markers. You have, of course, right now, Obama and Hillary are both in the lead, but they're back and forth. For instance, Hillary has more money on hand because Barack spent a little bit more, but Barack has certainly raised more money. It does seem that the trends, people who have raised more money earlier, like, say, your George Bush is an example of someone who just had a colossal lead in fundraising and then ended up winning the nomination. But John McCain almost derailed him. So it's not, it's sort of, I like to think of these numbers as, these are the numbers that are going to probably winnow down your pack. This is a factor that could make someone drop out very easily, but it doesn't decide the winner.
All right. There's a bunch of other small sort of, I don't know.
What I kind of wanted to do, because we have a list here,
yes,
of celebrities who have donated to candidates.
Excellent.
Could I give you some guesses on who these various celebrities have given money to?
Absolutely.
All right. Okay. Let's see. Who should I start with? How about Jodie Foster?
Jodie Foster. That would be Barack Obama.
That is correct. See, that was a softball right there. How about James Brooks?
Hillary Clinton.
Bill Richardson.
No.
A little more off the beaten path.
James
Oliver
Brooks.
Stone.
Oliver Stone. Oh, now I don't know. Now I'm all thrown off balance. I would also say Barack Obama.
It was John Edwards. John Edwards.
Really?
These are Democrats, by the way, so I'll do two more.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Oliver Stone gave money to John Edwards?
Oliver Stone gave $500 to John Edwards, yes.
Oh, well, that's not
Along
really
with,
good.
He was the John Edwards celebrity supporters are Oliver Stone, Mary Steenburgen, Ben Stiller, Peter Coyote, and Sharon Lawrence.
Peter Coyote?
Yes.
Peter Coyote's like... I got to stop here. Peter, really, honestly, Peter Coyote is like to the left of Tom Joad. That doesn't even make any sense. Peter Coyote is like the most left.
John Edwards, I don't know what's going on there.
I mean, and John Edwards, God bless him, but he does seem to be sort of a centrist and a moderate on certain things. And Peter Coyote is astonishingly liberal. I mean,
yeah.
That just challenges my whole notion of how Hollywood works. Okay, all right, go ahead.
All right, a couple more here. I always get this guy's name wrong, but Hector Elizondo.
Hector Elizondo, yes, from The Thing, and then he was also in that.
He's been in everything.
Yeah.
He always shows up in everything.
Hector Elizondo, Hillary Clinton.
Dennis Kucinich.
Really? See, I guess
I do the proud for Dennis Kucinich right there.
I keep going with the top two with Hillary and Barack Obama because, frankly, I can't imagine anybody. Like throwing their money down the rat hole that is the Dennis Kucinich campaign.
All right, two more then. John Lithgow.
Oh, now I don't know. Now I feel good.
Now you're all over the place.
Now I feel compelled. I'm just so off my game.
I'm not repeating here. These are all, I'm picking different candidates all over the place.
Now I feel compelled to pick that Duncan guy that Hillary Clinton or that Ann Coulter's always talking about just to sort of be off, just to sort of, I don't know, get outside the main red zone.
Right track. Democrat.
God, I don't know. Now I'm completely flustered.
Chris Dodd. John Lithgow likes the Connecticut Chris Dodd guy.
Well, I guess this has just shown that my handicapping skills are non-existent because I would never have predicted any of this. I think I got one right off the top, and it was the easiest one.
And then I'll give you here, and then I'll just run down some of the Hillary Clinton people.
Uh-huh.
Danny DeVito, probably not a shocker there. Sharon Lawrence doubling up with Hillary Clinton, by the way. She's a two-timer there on the contributions. Ben Stiller and my favorite, Pauly Shore, giving $1,000 to Hillary Clinton.
Okay. I just can't get over the Oliver Stone giving money to John Edwards. Because John Edwards
is... Peter Coyote, right, both those guys.
And he's just the most... I mean, he seems like a nice guy, but he's just the most milquetoast of all the Democratic candidates, and especially Oliver Stone, who a man to whom big, broad, bold, striking gestures hold a lot of appeal, admit that he would give money to a guy who's basically a big Fisher-Price doll.
Oh, geez. Now, John Edwards does have sort of the biggest agenda dealing with poverty of anyone, so that really may be where you're seeing these guys come from. I'm not sure. My favorite looking at these lists, too, is who's considered celebrities. For example, Dennis Kucinich, I think they were trying to get some names on his list, and Shelley Morrison, who was the actress playing Rosario on Will and Grace.
Really scraping
was listed as one of his celebrity.
The bottom of the barrel now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. So I've shamed myself by getting one out of like 80 questions.
Right. That's all right. I would have missed pretty much all of these. We do have one. Melissa Gilbert, half pint.
Right.
Rudy Giuliani.
Right. What? Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, she does. Never mind. No, because that's going to.
Here we go. I hope just, people playing at home. I hope you did better.
It's going to put us back on the. It's going to put us back on Little House on the Prairie Talk. So yes, at this sort of political at this political picture pages, I have failed spectacularly. All right, there you go. I always like to close things out with a good backhanded Bill Cosby reference. All right. I know you got a top of the hour thing to do, so I will let you move on. As always, a pleasure. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Good day to you.
Thank you, Lisa Goddard. There you go. Fantastic. Melissa Gilbert.
See, that question and answer session is exactly how I feel when we play 20 questions.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's helpless and it goes nowhere and you never know what to say. That's exactly how it feels.
I was on the tall grass there. I was in the weeds.
And she just wasn't stopping.
I started out strong with the Jodie Foster thing. I can't get over that thing of Peter Coyote. You don't know who Peter Coyote is, but Peter Coyote is... Have you seen Jagged Edge with Glenn Close? All right. Have you seen, God, what else was he in? Was he in Midnight Express? No, I don't think he was. Well, whatever. He's one of those, he's not a character actor, but he's a guy who kind of had a lot of movies in the 80s and 90s, but he's basically known as an activist. He's just real liberal. And the fact that he would just give money to John Edwards, well, whatever. Okay. I'm done. I'm not going to obsess on it.
Oh yeah. I recognize him.
He's just one of those guys.
He's been in a billion things.
He does a lot of voice work now. That's one of the other things he does. He does tons of voice work and he does a lot of narration of like nature shows and stuff like that. He's the guy who in Jagged Edge with Glenn Close and what's his name? Jeff Bridges says, he is an Iceman. He is a monster. And then Glenn Close says, you're the monster, not him. Jagged Edge. What a terrible movie that is. Go back and watch it now. Seems like a great movie. Still enjoyable, but goddamn, it's terrible. Like all Joe Esterhaus films. Enjoyable, but boy, just bad.
Man, I think it's another one I know from Lifetime Television for women.
Peter Coyote?
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Playing a lot of fathers and abusive men.
Sexy father?
No, not sexy father.
That's a discussion we had off the air the other day, by the way. We were talking about, not Joey, Jack Scalia, the guy on Friday. Who will be in studio with us the 24th when Scotty J will pretend to be me. We were talking about Jack Scalia, who we had on Friday, who's, you know, seemed like a nice guy doing this good cause for Iraq and Afghanistan vets raising money. But, boy, just a terrible interview.
Oh.
Great cause, tedious interview. Makes Troy McClure just look like a Laurence Olivier in terms of personality.
Well, it's kind of interesting because you could tell he had a passion for what he was talking about.
Well, he had a passion for the cause, but, boy... God damn, he was just dull as a human being. I don't mean to not. I'm sure he's a nice guy. Just a bad interview and just went on and on and on. But we were talking, he was a soap opera actor, and Sarah totally nailed it when she said that he is the sexy father guy on soap operas. And that is a personality type, and they're always a little debonair, older, suave.
Mm-hmm.
The sexy father is absolutely a soap opera archetype. All right, we should probably break so we don't get behind. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. Coming up later, we have Tim Riley's new news hour. That's about 6 minutes away. We have City Commissioner Dan Saltzman, believe it or not. What else do we have?
The hell else?
Clyde Lewis. Chris Sneedon's going to talk to us about Joey Chestnut eating a bunch of ribs. What else? Oh, and then what's his name? The kisser. Chad will be here at 2 o'clock. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere.
We interrupt this record to bring you a special bulletin. The reports of a flying saucer hovering over the city have been confirmed.
Is there more than one? Is he one of many city commissioners? Or is there only one city commissioner?
No, we're adequately represented here. There are multiple city commissioners.
Are you bluffing?
I am 99% sure.
All right.
I don't follow such things. I mean, politics means nothing to me.
I was going to say, I don't even vote. All right. It's
what are they going to do for me? I'm not a lobbyist. I don't belong to anything that needs to be saved.
We should ask him how much it'll take to grease him. Hey, how much for a little? How much does it take to get a little graft going on?
Oh, here we go. Above band. Let's find out.
All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. Coming up later on today at 1 o'clock, Portland City Commissioner, I guess one of dozens.
He's serving his third term and has been on the, he's been in charge of 7 city bureaus and his 8-plus years in office.
Really?
He's been assigned by Mayor Potter to manage the parks. Also, Sustainable Development, the Children's Investment Fund, and the Office of Cable. You can take your cable question, Sam. Cable and Franchise Management.
All right, here we go.
Born and raised here.
Commissioner Dan Saltzman. Here's some facts.
How could you be born and raised in Portland but graduate from Beaverton High School?
I don't know. We should ask him. We should call him out. We should call him out as a fraud. You, sir, are a charade.
He has a BS from Cornell University. That's helpful for a politician.
We're all 10. So I got all of these emails from a city employee who has listed some facts. Some of them, well, how do I put this? Some of them are real facts, and some of them are apparently facts that are opinions.
He's making children our highest priority.
Well, this one says, he is known throughout City Hall as the most boring of all the commissioners. That's not our assessment. That's an email from a city employee who will probably be fired by the end of the day. Let's see. He oversees the Office of Sustainable Development. Is that like the urban growth boundary?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Children's Investment Fund. Children can't invest. What do children invest in? Are we investing in children?
Gee, the last time he had his schedule listed. Oh, wait a minute here.
Portland Parks and Recreation, Cable and Franchise Management.
Quarterly calendar.
It's so irresponsible that they're letting us interview a city commissioner. I have no idea what to ask him.
Well, the last time he released his calendar for the week was March 26th.
He's just been slacking since then. It was all centered around PDXT and Idol. He just needed a lot of time to work up to that. And then, of course, this interview. All right. So at 1 o'clock, we'll be fumbling our way through another interview with someone else who deserves better. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Our top story, IHOP will buy Applebee's. The IHOP chief executive, who's a lady, is a former Applebee's executive. She says when the deal closes, IHOP will revive the Applebee's brand and plans to turn into a franchiser. They're going to sell most of their 500 company-owned stores.
I'm so confused. Is IHOP an independently owned...
I guess it's on Wall Street.
But, I mean, yeah. Is IHOP just owned by the IHOP company, or is it like one of those Procter & Gamble where it's owned by some big, big corporation?
I'm looking here. It just says IHOP is IHOP.
Okay, so IHOP is buying Applebee's.
Yeah.
And then what's happening?
Oh, they're going to turn it into a leader in dining.
They're going to turn Applebee's into a leader in dining?
Yes. They're based in Kansas. They have 1,943 restaurants worldwide, including those operated by the company and by franchises. Let's see. Applebee's company-owned restaurants... Okay, so they're all over the world.
Well, I will say that Applebee's does have large portions.
And IHOP will pay $25.50 a share for Applebee's, so it is a publicly traded company.
Okay.
How many stores does IHOP have?
I don't know, but there I don't are. Even... Is there even an IHOP here? Yeah, I only ever see them in California.
There's one of the suburbs that says kids eat here free on Tuesdays.
Oh, so stay away on Tuesdays. Tuesdays are your days.
In the suburbs, they do have...
Far away.
I've eaten at the Eugene IHOP, too, which
really?
Is one of the finest.
You know, when I was a kid, IHOP was great because, again, they didn't have one in Kennewick, of course. But we would go to Los Angeles occasionally, and there was an IHOP there. And when you're a kid, IHOP is the greatest thing ever because they have all kinds of weird novelty foods like chocolate chip pancakes, which now as an adult, the whole concept of that is just revolting. The idea of eating chocolate chip pancakes just makes you want to hurl. But when you're a kid, that's fantastic. So, well, there you go. And Applebee's, Applebee's is a fine place.
Yeah.
An alligator with sunglasses. Now I've seen everything. And their food is, it is large. And heated adequately. Here's Tim Riley.
A Choctaw man is dead after falling off Estacada's Goat Mountain. 24-year-old Travis Kuykendale was one of four men who drove to the summit around midnight Sunday. Not a good time to go to the top of a mountain. He got out of his vehicle in total darkness and took one step too many.
I'm sorry.
He fell off a 500-foot cliff.
Was alcohol involved?
Alcohol is believed to be a factor. Let's go to the top of Goat Mountain. What a romantic spot for midnight.
Fantastic.
I understand there's a place we can go over here that's the best view around.
Wait, the view seems to be getting closer.
I've always wanted to go to Goat Mountain at midnight.
Wait, hold on. Let's finish this case first. Oh, that's wonderful. Especially because if you read the version of the story that I saw...
There are a few of them around.
They inadvertently parked... There's really ought to be a Darwin watch. They parked right by the edge of the cliff, and I don't even think his feet hit the ground. I think they parked literally with the passenger door, like, over the edge of the cliff, and he opened the passenger door. So I'll just get on, and just run right down, just straight down. Right there in
Estacada. His friends called 911 to report they couldn't see him and he wasn't answering their calls.
It's just going straight to voicemail. I don't understand. All right. Fantastic.
They found him at the bottom of the cliff. Now, the fall likely killed him, but they're going to have an autopsy anyway.
You think? Okay. So, there you go.
Oh, it's close to a radio tower. Oh, that's what they wanted to see, apparently. There's a radio tower up there.
Oh, it's a pity they didn't live long enough to climb it.
Mm-hmm.
That's too bad. That's a good way for people to die. I always, it's always great when you'll, I remember talking to Jeff McGinley about this at one point, about some guy. Of course I mean to poke fun.
That's what the program's about.
It really is true. There was some guy who, I think it was the KUFO tower. Mm-hmm. I may be wrong about that. You know, this is one of those calls that will prompt Bruce to call in and clarify exactly which tower it was. But there was apparently some guy a while back who was, you know, nutty. Or just drunk or dumb or some combination.
Oh, is that the guy that tried to climb the tower and jumped?
Tried to climb the tower. Well, I don't think he jumped. He was climbing the tower, or the stick, as they say. We had somebody email us the other day, actually. I was talking about the stick, about the tower. And they had requested that we do... Let me write this down. They had requested that we do... Maybe we'll do this at a Slack moment someday. Like when we don't have a city commissioner that we have to prepare for. They had requested that we do a segment describing radio lingo. Because apparently we use a lot of radio lingo that is, I guess maybe we don't explain or whatever. I guess every industry has that. But I actually got a couple emails from people who wanted to know. They had questions about some of the radio slang that we use. But anyway, so the guy was climbing the tower, the transmitting tower. And as Jeff described it, you don't really notice it until it's too late. But as you climb those towers, apparently the microwaves or the waves, the actual broadcasting waves that come off there.
Don't ask me. I only made it to the third class.
Me too. I dropped out. I made it through like 3 weeks of broadcasting college, and I was like, F this. But apparently when you're climbing a radio tower, apparently the waves that emanate from it actually just cook you from the inside out. And I guess you don't really realize that until it's too late. And because it cooks you from the inside out, that just means it cooks the inside of your brain first. And so the guy was, like, climbing. And as Jeff described it...
I have a tremendous headache.
He would have become dizzy and confused. And then he didn't jump. They think it just cooked his brain from the inside out as he was climbing, and he just fell. And then they didn't find him.
They found claw marks in the ground, didn't they?
They didn't find him for weeks and weeks. And I guess it was like one of those Eastman backpack ads in Rolling Stone, where it was just like a skeleton with a backpack on it. So they found that guy later. So don't climb radio towers, or go to Estacada when you're drunk, like an idiot. All right, fantastic.
A Milwaukee woman is dead after a shootout with Clackamas County deputies, but they didn't kill her, apparently. 39-year-old Tanya Irene Yutt of Southeast died of self-inflicted gunshot wounds. They were called to Miss Yutt's house. After neighbors reported hearing gunshots, they found her in the backyard holding a handgun and talking on the cell phone to a 911 dispatcher saying, "I want to kill myself." A short time later, she fired one shot to the deputies. Two of them returned fire, but they didn't need it. Sharon already killed herself. Miss Yutt had a history of mental problems and was banned from owning firearms, so that worked out very well. Gresham firefighters are credited for saving the life of a 51-year-old woman, Barbara Belgrade, of Walter Street, called 911 early Sunday to say... She was trapped in her bedroom. Smoke was coming into the door. The dispatcher told her to lie on the floor till firefighters arrived. They rescued her and her cat with a ladder. She was treated at the scene, but she credits her cat for saving her. Apparently, the fire alarm didn't work there, and the cat just kept pouncing on the woman till she paid attention.
The cat was just trying to kill you. It was a
coincidence. And then, once the firefighters rescued the cat, it ran away, and they haven't seen it since.
Nah. The cat was just trying to steal your breath. Here's a question. Do firefighters really get called to get cats out of trees? And that is a corollary to the following question, which is, I guess maybe that's a follow-up too, do cats really get stuck in trees?
I think cats are just being stubborn not to come out of trees.
All right. So cats don't really get stuck? Discuss.
No. I think it's stubbornness on the part of the cat.
But, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, though, whether it's stubbornness, which I would totally buy, by the way, whether it's stubbornness or whether it is actually just an inability to come down, do cats go to the top of trees and then not come down?
I suppose, so. Because a lot of times when the cat is scared by the firefighter trying to rescue it, it will jump on the tree and land on its feet.
Now, do cats always land on their feet?
Always.
Always?
Always.
What if you were to... I wonder if you were to weight it somehow. Like, if you were to weight, like, its backside or whatever. My thing is, I don't understand the business of cats. I know this is just the most pedantic. No. Is that the word pedestrian? What is the word I'm looking for? Whatever. This is the dumbest conversation.
It is.
That's kind of what we're about. Mm-hmm. So, I don't understand. If cats really go to the tops of trees and can't get down again, what is that about? And I know you say it's stubbornness, but my thing is, if they can't do it, are we at some... Because people think that evolution is a thing that has already happened. That at one point we were whatever, you know, one-celled organism, or, you know, we were some sort of, we were like living in the trees like knuckle draggers. And then now, you know, we're human beings. But, you know, but obviously evolution is an ongoing process. So this right now today, we are more evolved than we used to be. But this is still just one step in the evolutionary process. So is the fact that cats can climb up into trees but can't get down again, is that they just haven't evolved that skill yet? Are we witnessing some intermediary position in the evolution of domestic felines?
Oh, I don't know. I don't follow the activities. No, I grasp the situation here.
I guess what I'm saying,
yeah. I just don't have a concrete answer.
So maybe like 10,000 years ago, cats couldn't get into trees at all. Mm-hmm. Now, they're able to get into trees, but they can't get down. In 10,000 more years, they'll both be able to get up and get down. Right now, we are at a midpoint in domestic felinary evolution.
If there are any cat ladies listening right now, please call us. They must know.
If you're a crazy cat lady,
there's no shortage of them out there.
Shuffle across the front row, across your living room with Kleenex boxes on your feet. Pick up the phone using a tissue to keep imaginary space bugs from jumping into your head. And call us at 503-733-2970. Why, hello, Rick Emerson radio program. Have ye a cat answer?
I do have you a cat answer.
Okay.
Basically, if you look at a cat's quads, it's curved,
yeah,
and so it's easy for them to climb up, but they don't back down. So once they're at the top of the tree, they have to go down head first, and the claws can't sink in at that angle
that's
and
true.
Go down.
If they were to go down head first, the claws, gravity would not allow their claws to work, and they would just plummet to their doom.
Yeah, so they can't back down. They can't go butt first down the tree so that their claws would actually work and do that for whatever reason.
Well, they could, but they just don't, so they're not
quite
stubborn.
Yeah, they don't. They just, for whatever reason, they don't.
They're not quite bright enough to go down backside first. That's interesting. Okay, so I bet it is that we are in a midpoint of their evolution, so in the future...
They'll have reversible claws.
There will be some sort of... adamantium. There'll be some sort of super cat in the future that'll be able to get itself out of a tree.
Super cat.
Yes, maybe with an opposable thumb.
And because cats... that can't get themselves out of trees and die won't be able to pass on their defective cat genes. Interesting. That's an interesting...
Well, that's why cats can fall, though, because that's how they get out of trees. They fall, go completely limp, and then land.
Hey, while I got you on the phone, cat guy, let me ask you this. What is the deal with cats and water? I mean, really, does anybody know why that is? What I mean, nobody likes to be doused with water, but I mean, what is the problem? Do we know why cats have such an aversion to getting wet? What is that all about?
The original cats were in Egypt and were desert animals. This weren't around water.
I feel you're out on the thin ice of a bluff.
No, I mean, the first domesticated cats came out of the desert because people were building grain storage. And
well, there's water in the desert.
Yeah, but not douseable amounts.
Well, that's true. I guess they don't get rained on. All right, interesting. All right, thank you, sir.
So a camel probably wouldn't want to get wet like a cat.
We should try it. Let's get a camel and submerge it. All right, let's just do one more. And then, do one more, and after that it's just going to be too much. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
You guys talking about Estacada like it's a bad place or something.
Yes, how dare we? Yes, how dare we, sir?
Well, I grew up there, and, all my buddies and I go up to where you're talking about, where the guy fell off the cliff.
Yeah.
And he would have had to have been just drunk off his butt.
Apparently,
or stupid.
Yes, or a little bit of both. That's usually the combination. The police do believe alcohol was a factor, yes.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I've never heard of anybody just driving up to it and falling off, but I guess stupider things have happened.
Stupid things have happened, sir. Did you attend school in Estacada?
I did.
Yes, you did. You graduated from Estacada. You still live there?
Yes, I do.
All right, excellent. Thank you. It's good to be proud of your community, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, just to make everyone happy, the Burnside Bridge will be closed to motor vehicles for 3 weeks beginning today. This will allow a contractor to conduct lifespan repairs, or lifespan repairs. They do this every couple of weeks because apparently they keep replacing these with faulty merchandise.
What is a lifespan repair?
They don't tell you. The closure will impact motor vehicles only. Pedestrians and bicyclists will be able to cross the bridge at most times.
But that's one of those things where you're not going to know what most times means.
Use the Broadway bridge instead.
God. So that's what... How many bridges are there within, like, the general downtown area?
Half dozen.
There's... I guess if you count Selwood, there's the Selwood Bridge, Ross Island Bridge, Hawthorne Bridge, Broadway Bridge.
Well, there's
bridge.
The Markham between the Hawthorne. The Markham Bridge?
Bridges.
Between the Hawthorne and where?
Between the Hawthorne and the Ross Island Bridge. It's the I-5 kind of
junction. Oh,
there.
Yeah, okay.
But,
so there's
but that counts as a bridge.
So there's six. So they are reducing the number of bridge space by almost 20%. Mm-hmm. So the load will increase probably at just the next bridge over. So what is the next bridge over? The next bridge over is either the Steel Bridge or the Broadway Bridge, right? Or
Broadway.
The Morrison? Okay.
A Morrison Broadway.
If you work at KGW, you can just pick a name. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the load's going to increase 20%, so have fun with that.
Jesus.
So... And you'll never know if you're on a bike, you will never know until the moment it happens whether you're going to be able to get across that bridge or not. The Burnside Bridge has just been gradually closing for over the last couple months anyway. It's like every time you go across it, the lanes are narrower. There's more and more flag guys. Mm-hmm. So I've been trying to avoid that, you know, forever, period. All right.
The large gazebo on the west bank of the Willamette near the Steel Bridge apparently collapsed over the weekend. Let's see, some people are bicycling along the Esplanade that circuits the river between the Steel and Hawthorne Bridge. And an unidentified man told him the structure was standing around 9 a.m., but when he passed again at 9:30, it had fallen into the river. Debris from the structure, which reportedly has been fenced off to restrict access, had been floating down the river.
I love the Willamette River. It's fantastic.
The gazebo had bad support.
Yeah,
contributed to its collapse.
Let's yell at Dan Saltzman about it. Let's upbraid him relentlessly.
Let's put this one aside.
All right.
So who put up this gazebo and why was it there?
We should go downtown and just put up our own gazebo and see if anybody, if you know, they just sort of assume that it's supposed to be there.
I like gazebos.
Just like the idea of just go down and put up a statue of something and just, you know, act as though it's supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. Just a statue of somebody that doesn't even make any sense, like Ron Palillo. Just go down, just stick it up there and just see how long it lasts. All right. Well, let's just get a couple. Really, Scotty, are these cat calls going to be interesting? Is this woman on hold a crazy cat woman? Does she sound insane? If she's crazy, I might take the call. No, okay. Scotty's identifying the calls one by one. Okay, that call, not interesting. What about the woman? Is she interesting? She's out of her mind? Okay.
Those are the kind of calls we like.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show, Crazy Cat Lady. Hello.
Hi, Rick. This is Jeanette of Salem. I'm a crazy cat lady, but I sincerely hope I'm not insane.
How many cats do you own?
At one time, my mother had 14, and I was living in the same house.
Well, she was the crazy cat lady.
Yeah, I have a history of cat farms, I guess.
Cat farms. Now,
cat farms.
Do you live on your own now?
With my husband, yes.
How many cats?
I only have one.
You only have one. Now, what about after your husband dies under mysterious circumstances? How many cats will you have then?
As many as I can feed.
Okay, so there you go. So you are a future crazy cat lady.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Do you already have a house dress that you can sort of sit around in all day when that happens?
No.
All right. Well, just get that. Get a house dress and, you know, some rollers. You know, and
make
like
sure you're watching QVC.
I was going to have a subscription to one or more soap opera digests. Okay, how can I help you today?
Hey, firemen still get police get called about cats stuck in trees, but they do not answer them because they consider it a waste of time.
Well, of course,
cats are a waste of time.
Seriously.
And about the landing on their feet, the reason why cats land on their feet is it's a function of their inner ear fluid, like what keeps us standing up.
Well. Mm-hmm. Okay, I understand that your inner ear fluid tells you which way is up, but I guess I'm
exactly.
talking about the actual mechanics, though, of if I can toss a cat off something. Not that you should do that.
It's a combination of their inner ear fluid and muscular contraction.
Really? Because that is pretty impressive that they can turn themselves in the air like that.
That's exactly what they do.
All right, interesting.
If you spin a cat, and I do not recommend doing this.
If you spin a cat by the tail.
Or in a dryer. Spin a cat and you make them dizzy, and then you toss them
off that, tumbler.
They will not land on their feet.
Okay. So if you were to get a cat and, I don't know, if you were just to put it in some sort of a salad spinner for a good 10, 12 minutes and then roll it down a staircase.
Yeah, it won't land on its feet.
Okay.
Because it can't tell which way is up.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Jeanette.
All right, there you go. Jeanette, crazy cat lady of the future. Fantastic.
One more, then we'll resume normal news activities. Hello, sir. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
I was calling to praise your knowledge of the Iron Giant.
Yes, sir.
I ended up seeing it for sale on a list of other stuff on Craigslist, and due to your praising of it, I purchased it, and I do find it entertaining, but my four-year-old loves it.
Did you watch it with your four-year-old?
Yes, I did. It's actually really, really good. I was really surprised.
I'm surprised. Like, I would recommend something bad.
You haven't even mentioned Grandma's Boy, so...
I'm sorry?
I said you haven't even mentioned Grandma's Boy, and there's so many quotes you could use on that.
I don't know what we're talking about now.
Oh, go get the movie called Grandma's Boy. Okay. Get the unrated version. It's a movie that Adam Sandler produced with all the guys from all the Adam Sandler movies.
Yes, how could...
It's funny.
How could I miss? Okay.
It's a guy that works at an Xbox... He's an Xbox games tester.
Okay, that does
That's his job. He's a game tester, and all they do is smoke weed. It's funny.
It really is the definitive Adam Sandler. He was on Dennis Miller for an hour today, and they were talking about various things, and he was... You know, of course, it's nothing to complain about because it's a problem any people would, you know, people would love to have, but Sandler was with Dennis Miller this morning, and he was talking about how he cannot walk a city block without someone yelling out, "The price is wrong, bitch," at him, or asking how Bob Barker is. Every single place, he's like, dude.
Shampoo is better.
Yeah, he's just like every 40 minutes, like clockwork, somebody yells out a Bob Barker thing. No, The Iron Giant is wonderful. It's magical. One of the best films of the last 20 years. It is a movie without flaws. It is a flawless film. Yes.
And Grandma's Boy is the comedic, non-animated equal to that for an older man that likes to play games.
All right. Well,
it's genius. Yes, go get it. I'm telling you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Have a good one.
There you go. Fantastic. Here's Tim Riley.
A TSA security guard at PDX has been arrested for allegedly stealing prescription drugs out of a passenger bag. 38-year-old Tuesdia.
Wow, what kind of a name is that? I was just going to say that, Tim. What sort of a name is...
Tuesdia. And she's a white woman. Tuesdia Renee Palmer was arrested around 1 o'clock on Friday for possession of a controlled substance... And apparently she's been a TSA employee since 2002, accused of stealing medicine out of a Longview, Washington woman's carry-on bag at a security checkpoint. Let's see, the 38-year-old is on indefinite leave. So, and the TSA has zero tolerance for theft in the workplace and has taken immediate action in this case. And they're outraged that this happened, so there. Since May 1st, 2003, 170 TSA employees have been terminated from stealing from passengers across the country. That's less than 1%. Of the 98,000 security officers employed by the TSA. Portland driver's in custody after police said he hit a bicyclist participating in the Seattle to Portland ride on Highway 30 on Sunday.
Is this the thing that, what's his name, Jack Scalia was talking about?
Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Wait, so a guy in that got hit by a car?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 40-year-old Daniel Wittenlinger was driving a Jeep Grand Prix on Highway 30 around 9:30 a.m. and he was drunk already, allegedly. So he collided with... somebody on a bicycle.
So it was his fault.
Yes.
Yeah. See, that's what sucks. And I've talked before about it. You know, I as much as anybody, I despise those bicyclists that just get in the way, act like they're cars, you know, just engage in dangerous behavior, dart out into traffic without looking. I hate that. But by the same token, man, there's just
a lot of dangerous people.
Seriously, just a bunch of guys who shouldn't be allowed anywhere near spitting distance of a motor vehicle. And every, I don't want to sit and turn this into a whole thing because everybody has, it's like every poker player has a bad beat. Every bicyclist has a story about the time they almost got killed by some a-hole. But I mean...
Well, the worst thing about bicyclists is, and I've seen this on numerous occasions, you know, country roads aren't safe anywhere in Oregon. And people who come here from the Wicked City thinking that pedaling a bike in the country is some healthy activity.
Yeah, no, it's...
Pedaling a bike in L.A., you're just as safe there as
country roads in Oregon are terrifying, even if you're in a car. I mean, I drive a car that has crumple zones, seat belts, airbags. I mean, it's got everything you could possibly imagine. And driving on, like, if I have to go out to Malala for something, or if I ever have to go to, like, Triple Falls or someplace, I mean, it's terrifying.
I mean, 1 inch off the pavement, and you're down some 20-foot gully. There's no place to go to correct an accident.
And then 9 years later, a cop will slowly drive by looking for your car, squint ever so slightly.
We hear it's red.
Drive on without investigating your
moldering
corpse.
We got a call from Ethel's jerky stand about 2 weeks ago.
Totally. That's exactly it. And everybody, and you're totally right about that, when you drive on those country roads in Oregon,
You always see, and you know they're tourists, thinking they're engaged in some safe activity and bring the kids along.
God, and it's like they've designed it for maximum risk, too, because on your right, and you nailed this, there's no shoulder. There's just a plunge 700 feet down into, like, an alligator-filled ravine.
Yeah.
And then the lanes are so impossibly narrow that if you drift to the left even an inch, you're going to be clipped by the next logging truck that comes by in the oncoming lane, which will, by the way, which I guarantee, will be going 85 miles an hour, swinging wildly into the oncoming lane as it rounds a corner. The corner, by the way, is always part of a huge hill because it's just endless hills and valleys when you're driving, like, through any place like that. If you're driving to, like, you know, Markham or Silver Creek or any of those places, just these huge hills you cannot possibly see over.
And you have to pay attention because if you're looking at the sentences, cucumbers ahead, you could plunge 50 feet to your death before you get to buy that cucumber.
Corn by the ear. And meanwhile, there's a huge... Pretty huge Douglas pine just it's coming right through your windshield.
The hint is when you see crosses decorated by flowers along the way, always keep your eyes on the road.
Exactly.
But that's Oregon.
Well, you know, and people move out to those parts of the country because they don't want to pay attention to the law. And I don't mean that. Look, and I understand that.
There's
I really do.
There's nobody to enforce it.
No. I mean, our friend Mike Everhart lives out there. Mm-hmm. And I've gone out to his house a time or two, which is just, you know, and it's in the middle of just nothing. I mean, he lives in Malala. You could just set off. You could just set off nuclear weapons out there. Probably nobody would ever notice. Which is, you know, I'm all for being left alone, not having guys come and knock at your door. You can drink. You can set up fireworks. You can fire a gun. You can, you know, ride some sort of an off-road vehicle in your backyard. Doesn't matter. But of course, the other sort of corollary, the flip side of that is, the people just decide that because there's really no law out there, they can just get liquored up before they take their truck out on the road going 95 miles an hour down some twisty, windy mountain path.
It's still Little House on the Prairie, just with motor vehicles, so it's more dangerous than a horse. And the things that go on out there, I had a contractor working on my house, and he's from Malala, and he was talking, he was waking up out of a sound sleep by somebody castrating pigs the other morning, and they were screaming at the top of their lungs, and he wouldn't inquire, oh, we're sorry to wake up, we're just castrating pigs.
Oh, fantastic. There you go. Okay. We should take a little break here. We'll come back. It's 503-733-2970. We're getting nothing but crazy cat lady calls now. That's great. It's 503-733-2970. The Rick Emerson Show continues. Coming up at 1 o'clock, inexplicably, Commissioner Dan Saltzman will join us. Later on, Chris Sneathan about Joey Chestnut. Talk to Clyde Lewis. And the first kissing audition happens at the 2 o'clock hour as well. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. Coming up at 1 o'clock, City Commissioner Dan Saltzman joining us for no real reason.
Well, also, the problems are our community together.
Yes. Working together is people helping people. We just talked to Lacey Turner, our public affairs director in the kitchen. She is kind of a crazy cackly laugh sometimes. Kind of a I'm going to kill you all someday laugh.
I think she thinks that we're one of the ones that deserve to die.
We're on the list.
I think we are because she's just like, oh, that sleazy news you report. Yes. You can tell she didn't think very much of it.
Yeah, she said...
I like her, though.
I won't... I will edit this statement a little bit for the air. But we were just talking to Lacey, and again, if you hear like a PSA, which is one of those things we play to make it seem like we care about the community, that's her doing. Because she cares, I guess.
Just because it's her job doesn't mean she cares.
She's paid to act as though she cares. We talked to her in the kitchen, and we were asking about something, and I'll have to edit this a little bit for the air, but she said, because we said, well, you don't hate us, do you, Lacey? Because she was, like, ranting about a bunch of people this morning who she despised. And she said, no. She said, as sleazy as your news may be, at least you're not, insert other radio station. You could always go lower. You could always be insert other radio station. So, there you go. So we are several notches above others. If you grade us on some sort of a curve.
We're the cleanest people in here, though.
That is true. No, and really, the
Even
people
Scotty
in this room,
cleans up after us.
We're very tidy. Us, and Scotty is very clean as well. Scotty is a well-scrubbed individual. He really is.
He is. I see him cleaning the kitchen.
Suburbia. I will come in here, and he's like, not Windexing, but he's using whatever, like Simple Green or something, and he is like, just wiping. I mean, things that don't even need to be cleaned, like the windows sometimes. It really is. And in the kitchen, I'll go into the kitchen sometimes, and he's wiping down every counter space in the kitchen.
Yep. It's always Pleasantville in here.
That really is true. All right. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, a tourist who got his neck broken at Yankee Stadium when another fan fell on him is recovering from his injuries. Paul Robertson of Kirkland, Washington, was sitting in the stadium's steep upper deck when his wife and 13-year-old son noticed an unidentified man standing above him who took a violent tumble down several rows of seats. His neck is in a big brace. He's not paralyzed, though. Luckily, the surgery went very, very well. And this is a miracle, because in that same vertebrae, if you go a fraction of an inch, you're paralyzed. You can't breathe.
His head's one of those big birdcage things.
Yeah, they crash into his head,
yeah,
breaking his vertebrae. So that's
you. That's one of my fears whenever I'm at when I used to go to the Kingdome for shows and stuff, mm-hmm. There would be the balcony of guys above you, and it would always be a big fear of mine if I'm at any sort of a public stadium or sporting event where there's a balcony that a guy will fall off the balcony and land on me in the crowd below. Because that's what you don't get, 200 pounds of drunken moron falling onto you. Yeah.
So the drunken moron was dragged away by his friends and never bothered to apologize or check on how badly the man was hurt. The family believes he was drunk.
Yes.
Not that this isn't the first case of this. A 58-year-old woman suffered a broken back when a large drunk crashed into her last fall at Mets Stadium. Or that's Shea Stadium where the Mets played. She's now suing the team and its beer vendor.
No, and you know those big birdcage things you got to wear on your head when your neck breaks? Those are no fun. Do you remember a talk show host named Gene Burns?
Yes. He's on KGO still.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was on WOR.
He may be syndicated, but he's live on KGO.
Okay, well, I think he might be out of WOR. Now on KGO, which is a legendary station in San Francisco. WOR, home of Ken and Daria Dolan and Dr. Joy Brown. Who are just all of them great people, unbelievably tedious. Nice people, though. The Gene Burns, though, back in like 89, 90, 91, something around that era, there was this thing that happened to him, and I never really heard him address it on the air, but apparently the story is, and I heard part of this broadcast, was it like on a Friday, he was signing off, and he's like, so, you know, Gene Burns signing off. I'll be back on Monday. And this is a national show that used to be on in the city where I lived in. And he said, you know, Gene Burns, I'm heading into the weekend now, so enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk again Monday night. This weekend I'm heading in for a little chiropractic appointment, so I'll sound revitalized and refreshed when I rejoin you on Monday. Except Monday he wasn't back, and he wasn't back for like 9 weeks, because apparently he went into the chiropractor, and the chiropractor, this is a story we heard, just adjusted him 1 inch too much and like snapped his neck in half.
Oh.
And so he didn't come. Like on Friday he was like, so I got that small chiropractic appointment, I'll see you Monday. And then it was like 4 months later they roll him into the studio, and he's got like the huge metal halo and the bolts like screwed into his head, because he can't move his neck at all. So,
like Herman Munster.
Yeah, totally. So whenever I hear somebody who has to wear one of those things for a neck injury, I always picture Gene Burns just, see you Monday. And then like weeks later, they roll him in. He's like bolted to a striker bed trying to do his show. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Oh, there's an accident I-5 southbound at Carbon Drive.
I don't know.
The place is a parking lot.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. They just say it's a parking lot, but I don't really know why or what. You said it's
what
an accident
of
some kind?
A vacant parking lot or
old park? A Wally World parking lot.
So it's a parking lot of some sort.
We've got some questions coming in for Commissioner Dan Saltzman.
Oh, good.
Let's see. Hold on. Here we go. Wait. No. No. It's about Dick Van Patten.
Well, we could ask some of the same questions. No. We probably have some of the same concerns.
I'm going to ask him his favorite Billy Joel song. Let's see. No. No. I thought we had questions for him. Rick, you don't know how many emails I've gotten, and they all say, where is the phone with which you summon Batman? They all say that. Let's see. No. No. Ah, here we go. Please, please, to be grilling Dan Saltzman on why cable rates are so high. Also, why does my cable service suck? Now, when they say that he... on this
he
thing
didn't
about,
charge a cable.
Now, but is that really cable television?
I would imagine so, yes.
Why is there a city commissioner in charge of cable television?
Well, because the city decides who they want as the cable provider.
Is that true?
Yeah.
So there's...
It depends on how much money they get from the cable companies, apparently.
Is it a law that there can only be one cable provider in a city?
No, not anymore. As a matter of fact, in the western suburbs, we're soon to have a choice between Comcast and Quest.
Okay. Hold on, I'm writing this down. Cable service. Okay. Improving life for bicyclists. Or bicyclists. Somebody wants me to ask that. What else do we have here?
He's big in payday loans. That's what it says here.
I'm sorry? I don't understand.
Payday loans?
But
the stores that are all closing down?
But what about him and payday loans?
Apparently, he's against them.
Why?
Well, because they charge people too much money.
Well, that's what people get for being irresponsible. Gambling away their income.
Well, most of these places have closed down lately.
Yeah.
Because they capped them at like 30%. I'm serious.
Is that true?
Yeah, they capped them at 30%.
I thought you were joking when
you said
that.
No, I'm not.
Capped at 30%.
They capped them at 30%.
People use this phrase a lot, but I really am in the wrong industry. All right. Let's see. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. How can I help you?
Hey, what's up, Rick?
What's up?
I had a quick comment about bicyclists.
Yeah.
Well, since you started riding for the gifted, I went out and bought a bicycle because I only live a couple miles away from work. Thought I could do it. About a week later, I got plowed into by some moron. And what good is it to be a bicycle-friendly state if everybody else is dickweeds?
I don't really know the answer to that, sir. That's a question like only God can answer.
It was like, have you ever seen like the old commercial with the old lady and the car comes screeching into a halt and it just taps her?
No.
And then she just kind of tips over and falls down. That's kind of how it was, only my front tire looked like an S.
So the question is, I'll ask Commissioner Dan Sasson about the dick aspect, sir. All right. Thank you, sir. All right, there you go.
It's true. We are supposed to be a bike-friendly city, and it's like, you know, fearing for your life every time.
But don't they say that Portland is the most bike-friendly city in America?
No, we have the most commuters. But it's still only 3% of our population bikes to work. But it is the most in America.
But we have the smallest park.
But in terms of the city being laid out for bicyclists, you always hear that Portland is the number one in the country.
I would think so.
In terms of a city being designed, which makes you wonder, because there are sections of Portland that are really great for bicyclists, but there are sections that are just like downtown. And I don't have one of these shirts, but I've considered getting one. The one of those shirts that on the back like has the Oregon statute about like I'm in a bicycle, I get the whole lane, get off my back.
Bicycles love full lane.
Yeah, because if you bicycle, then people love to bitch about that. I know people in cars love to complain about bicyclists who drive in the middle of the street downtown. But you know what? It's illegal to bike on the sidewalk.
You get ticket. You can get it like $100 ticket.
Yeah, more than that. It's like $200 I think now. If you bike on the sidewalk, they will ticket your ass. It is illegal for bicycles to be on the sidewalk downtown. Rick.
Wow, he has 5 people on his staff.
Who, Dan Saltzman?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Ask about fortified wine and public nudity. That's not a bad... I like the way you think, sir. All right. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hi, Rick.
Hi.
I was, you know, your conversation last week, you were talking about the public nudity and being legal in Portland.
Yes.
And I thought maybe you should ask him something about, you know, explain, please, how it's possible to be nude in downtown Portland.
What do you mean, how is it possible to be nude?
Well, it's legal to be nude in downtown Portland. Why is that?
Are you angry about it?
I wouldn't.
No, I'm just curious, you know, why is it, you know,
it's because
permissible?
It's because we're a forward-thinking community.
Yeah, well, I don't want to see some guy out there naked.
but I think she has a point. The only people who enjoy taking off their clothes are people you really don't want to see naked.
Oh,
exactly.
True. All right. I mean, you're all, like, irritated about it. All right, thank you. No, Portland is free thinking. That's why it's the city for me. That's why it's the city for anybody who values the individual. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
We have to take down the time limit because it's in the first time in the history of his life Tim is finally wrong about things.
No.
Yeah,
no.
I know.
Are you talking about me?
Tim
yes,
Riley,
Tim,
you're
sorry.
Saying, is wrong?
Yes. It will not be Quest coming to compete with Comcast. It is, in fact, Verizon.
You're right.
I am one of those employees, and I'm actually, this very moment, working on the system that will be kicking Comcast to the curb.
But they're the same thing. They're going to be bought out.
So Verizon is going to offer what? They're going to offer cable TV?
Yep. Phone, internet, TV, the whole, everything Comcast has to offer, we're going to offer faster and cheaper.
Right.
How much cheaper?
Well, it depends on what you offer, but right now, everything with Comcast, you're looking at about $245. If you got everything with Verizon, and I mean everything by phone, internet, TV, you'd be looking at about $129.
Now, how is that possible?
The technology we use is much cheaper than theirs. We're using fiber optics from one end to the other, where they still have to build a network that relies on a whole different cable system. They still use coax. So just much more expensive, and we're just overlaying the old copper, so it's cheaper to put it in because we don't have to build a whole new system.
I feel like we're waiting in the middle of some weird cable company street fight here.
I think I'm going to miss all the cable access shows.
But all your ultra right now, because they love this, because the files we offer is, you know, internet stuff that's absolutely set up for gamers because it's way faster.
We have many, many Comcast employees who listen to us, so I will recuse myself from this conversation and simply say that I will not choose side two because we have many Comcast folks who listen to us.
Do you have a marketing director where salesmen may call?
Actually, 1-800 get files.
I'll send Alan Gabrowski over this afternoon. Thank you, sir. All right, that's Dave. All right.
No, he was right. I was wrong. I always think that they're the same thing. Well, all these places merge and they change your names.
Well, seriously, I don't even know if... I mean, I've lost
track. I started
track.
Off with AT&T, then it merged with Singular, then it gets sold back to AT&T, then it'll change again.
I remember at one point I had AirTouch, and I don't even know what AirTouch was. What was AirTouch? Remember how AirTouch used to be here?
I started with AirTouch.
Who is that? Or do they even exist, or did they become someone else?
No, they became something else, and then something else again. So it doesn't matter.
So I don't even know.
Verizon might be disguised as Comcast. We don't know. There could be something going on behind closed doors we don't know about.
It's like when you go to a gas station, you know, and there's all the different octanes, but it's really just one big tank.
It comes out
of
one tank.
Yes, one tank.
It cleans your engine. Try three tanks.
Now
$300.
Now with Scrubonics, you know, or whatever, it's just some like weird, and it's like some happy little oxygen bubble that's supposed to float through and clean. It's just the same crap.
But, you know, it costs $100 for a quarter of a tank. Like, I care if my engine is clean. My engine can be dirty for all I care. I'd be happy not to be, you know, driving on fumes at the end of the week after spending $100. I don't care if the engine's dirty. Market something else.
Well, and I've had this discussion recently with my wife, and I've actually been talking about just getting rid of cable altogether, cable television anyway, because we've got cable TV, cable internet, and we don't have, like, what is it the other thing? What's the three? Because they sell a package of three, right? It's internet, cable TV, and then phone service, the cable phone. But is that for like a landline?
Yeah, that is the line in your house.
But who would possibly need that? I'm not trying to knock on them as a company. I'm just saying that as a service.
They're trying to sucker you in.
They advertise with us. Client alert. Well, you know, I'm really not talking about them specifically as a company. I'm just because many people offer this service of high-speed landline phone service, where it's like over a cable or over a DSL or whatever.
Yeah, something.
But it's like, who would possibly need that? Who needs a landline phone at this point? Like,
have one.
Really, it's like offering a nuclear-powered abacus. Like, I can't even imagine the need for that. So, if you assume that I no longer need... I haven't had a landline in like 3 years.
Me neither.
You know, I the cable internet is great, but because of cable internet, I feel like I don't need a lot of cable television stuff because it's like through the iTunes store or through like HBO and a lot of places will let you just watch episodes online now. And there's that Joop.com service that's launching that's like from the Kazaa guys and where they partner with a bunch of broadcast entities to provide legal live streaming television right there on your computer.
I do love the DVR box, so queuing past commercials.
The DVR box is great, but
it's
saying...
It's one of the greatest inventions.
It really is. You know, DVR is in that new Webster's Dictionary. Along with Ginormous and Jiggy, they have added DVR. But I'm saying I don't even know that I need cable television anymore. And I think I'd save like $70 a month if I got rid of cable TV.
How many channels do you watch in all? I probably don't watch more than a half dozen all the time.
I don't even know how many channels I have. I could not tell you right now. You put a gun to my head, I couldn't tell you how many channels I have. I know I have at least 550 because HBO... is channel 550. And on Sundays for Entourage, the TiVo flicks over to 550 and records that. So I have at least 550. Really, and I know that I'm like the light 9 millionth guy to make this observation. I mean, Bruce Springsteen was singing about this 15 years ago. But really, honestly, it just sounds retarded when you think about it. Who needs 550 television channels?
Well, because you're stuck with them because the channel that you want is stuck right in the middle of all
of
them.
And you can't buy anything a la carte, can you?
I don't want any of the sports channels.
Can you buy cable channels a la carte here?
No, that's what somebody should do.
I'm asking Dan Saltzman about that. A la carte cable.
And half these channels I never watched, like TBS and TNT, yeah. I haven't watched them in like 20 years.
What's no. I have not, and then there's channels that you thought it didn't exist anymore, and then you realize they are still, and TNT is one of those.
Yeah.
And TBS seems like a channel from another era.
Yeah.
I watch TBS, it's like watching TV from 1987.
I haven't watched it in years.
You know, you can tell. I can tell that I'm about...
The Hallmark Channel? Here's another one.
It's about time for me to re-up my caffeine, by the way, because I was just writing down cable television, and I went to write cable, and I started with B. That's what the first letter I wrote, that was B. So I'm going to have some more caffeine here in a second, or I'm just going to sound like a retard when I talk to the city commissioner. So here's what I've got. Why can't I have a la carte cable channels?
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal with getting rid of my fortified wine downtown? This will give him a great impression of the show. Is Portland the best city in the country for bicycling, and what are we doing to keep it that way and to improve it?
Oh, how soon will the gentrification of St. John's arrive?
Okay, gentrification of St. John's. Which will be the next neighborhood to be gentrified after St. John's?
After St. John's, because that's next.
You know, my wife and I are predicting that it's Southeast, by the way.
Oh, I thought you were predicting you're going to buy real estate in St. John's.
Oh, yeah, have you seen all the condos going up on Hawthorne?
On Hawthorne. And then there's all those strip mall restaurants there.
And the ones on Belmont, too. I mean, the whole area's gone.
What is that, noodling? Come on in and get some noodles and butter for like $15.
Well, it's that top ramen in the bowl.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't you? Wait, well, now see, I don't even know who advertises and who doesn't. I'm just going to say that there was a wide range of opinions about the noodling. It wasn't that wide range. There was actually one opinion about the noodling restaurant. All right. They don't advertise. Nobody from a gentrified neighborhood advertises on this program. All right. What are we doing here? Well, we have to break here in a second. Listen to this. Scotty has just typed on the screen, "I love salad," in huge letters. All right. Real quickly. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, well, this is James DeFree. My question for the commissioner is in residential areas, why is there a complete lack of stop signs that you nearly plow into other people?
That is a great goddamn question.
It is very, very difficult, even in the suburbs, to get a stop sign approved.
No, I mean, but there's a lot of four-way intersections where there's no stop sign.
Yeah, it's the same thing where I live.
How much does it cost to put a goddamn stop sign? And I'm going to ask him about the Birdside Bridge, too. And I realize that many of these questions are probably outside his realm of whatever it is he talks about. But seriously,
you can blame it on
the love of sweet Christ. And it'll give him a chance to ream on somebody else. You know that's how politics works. Mm-hmm. It'll give him a chance to throw somebody else under the bus.
It's the gays.
You know? We should ask him the list problem. We should ask him, sir, which problems can be laid on the shoulders of the gays?
Oh, no, we're good for everything. Come on.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Sir, for which problems may the gays be blamed? Discuss. And then we'll just sit and see how long the awkward silence lasts. All right. It's 503-733 2970. We should take a break here. We'll come back around the corner. City Commissioner Dan Saltzman. Later on, Chris Sneathan about eating contestant Joey Chestnut. Scotty J. be here as well. Clyde Lewis. More from Tim Riley and Rachel McGrath from CNN. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Also, she's had that weird makeover. She's not a blonde
she
anymore.
She had the teeth shaved down. That's a lot better.
Is that really true? Hillary Duff had her teeth shaved down?
Oh, yeah, because she had those veneers put on. Remember, they were huge.
Oh, I must have missed that face. Oh. I was distracted by Gina Davis's teeth. I couldn't see Hillary Duff.
Oh, Hillary Duff's were horrible.
That's going to be my new excuse anytime I don't see something. I'm sorry, I couldn't see you. Gina Davis's teeth were in the way. And I'll just say, and then I'll look blankly. Shaved down. How do they make your teeth smaller? Do they shave them and cap them? That's just, it seems like that would hurt.
No, she had them capped. I think she had them replaced with smaller caps.
All right. She had them capped at 30%. All right. A little call back there. You know, you're too young to remember this, but you know, Dee Snider from Twisted Sister had his teeth shaved into points. That was like his big, which he acknowledged later was the dumbest thing ever. He, just to promote their, I think it was Lovers for Suckers or something, one of their albums, though, but he had his teeth, like, shaved into, like, razor-sharp points. Later, he's like, what was I thinking? Why would you do that? Let's talk to Mike. Mike,
hey.
You're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Why, hello, and how are you on Monday?
Good, Rick, how are you?
What's up, brother? How can I help you?
My question for the commissioner is, are they going to start enforcing
traffic laws for bicyclists as they do the motorists.
Well, they already do in some places. Like in Southeast right now, they do.
They do?
Yeah, right now, if you're a bicyclist and you don't stop at a stop sign in Southeast, it's a $200 ticket. And if you're a bicyclist in Southeast and you don't stop at a stop light and there's a cop, it's $400.
Okay, so that's good.
Yes.
I'm glad that they're doing that, but I'd like to see more police force then.
Yes, because
I live in Southeast, and I am constantly avoiding hitting somebody because they're not paying attention.
Well, so we're talking about two different things. I mean, on the one hand, you can argue that it's perhaps not, like, the most serious pressing crime on earth. On the other hand, it does contribute to X number of, if not accidents, certainly near collisions when you get some jackhole bicyclist. I do think that there is, I mean, look, I'll firmly cop to the fact that if I'm biking to work and it's like 7 in the morning and I'm going through a construction area and it's deserted, I don't necessarily stop at every stop sign. But on the other hand, because I do spend a lot of time in a car or a motor vehicle and I don't want to be like one of those jerk bicyclists that I will absolutely make sure that I sort of, I mean, I think the key is just remembering you're not a car. You know what I mean? That's the thing about so many bicyclists is they just forget that they're not cars. And there's a difference between, like, having the right to the road and then just being like an ass who's just going to sit there and make it as... I do honestly believe that there are bicyclists, and they make it their goal to block and impede as much traffic as humanly possible, like as some sort of political statement. And really, it just fills you with a fiery, white-hot rage.
Well, yeah, because I drive trucks for a living.
Yeah.
And I ride my bike, and I stay to the side street so I don't impede traffic as
yes.
well. But right. I would like to see them ticketing more.
And I'd like to see more beatings.
Well, that too. But...
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Later.
All right. There you go. It's Mike. All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You may remember him from such talent competitions as PDX Teen Idol and such jobs as Portland City Commissioning Guy. Let's welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show, City Commissioner Dan Saltzman. Hello, sir.
Hello, good afternoon.
How are you, my friend? So you may remember or may not remember sitting next to Scotty J and myself at PDX Teen Idol a few weeks back.
I do very well remember that.
All right. So this...
About a month ago, yeah.
We were talking, and it was Scotty and myself and some other people, and you were there, and as you stood up to leave, and they kept introducing you by your full name and title, was every time they would, because they would just refer
right.
to me as like Rick or Scotty as Scotty, but you were always City Commissioner Dan Saltzman. So
I noticed that too.
I extracted a promise from you as you got up to come onto the program, and your parting words were something like, I forget exactly what you said, but you said, you're not one of those terrible, awful morning show type programs, are you? And the only difference is really we're not in the morning. We are terrible and awful
so
in almost every other way.
Just a terrible afternoon show.
Yeah, it's okay, though. It's a niche we've carved out.
I've been duped.
So let me ask you this, and I will just dispatch with the Batman jokes that all the audience members want me to ask right now, just to say, and I'm going to be very upfront about a few things. So, A, we're not all that bright here, so we don't really know what a city commissioner does. So please to explain now to the audience exactly what it is that you do and how much power you wield, and do you have sufficient clout to punish your political enemies?
Well, I'm one of the five people in the city council, the mayor and the four commissioners. We do have a lot of power over city bureaus and budgets. And, yes, I do have the ability to punish enemies.
Do you keep
so
an
be
enemy?
Careful.
Do you keep
so
an enemies list, sir?
Only in my head.
Excellent. Fantastic.
Only in my head, yeah.
That's a good answer. All right. So among the things that you're over is the Portland Parks and Recreation.
Parks and Recreation, the Office of Sustainable Development, and the Children's Investment Fund are the bureaus I oversee.
Now, is the Sustainable Development, is that like the urban growth boundary and whatnot?
No, it's more focused on working with Portlanders to use more renewable energy, to conserve more energy, to use less polluting sources of energy and things like that.
Now, are you in some...
Green buildings also.
Now, as part of the sustainable and the don't pollute and the let's try not to destroy the planet and so forth, under that umbrella, why is there sewage still dumped into the Willamette? I mean, is that like under your bailiwick?
Well, that's under the Bureau of Environmental Services, which I did oversee for about 5 years, and they are in the midst of a multi-billion-dollar project to eliminate sewage into the Willamette River.
Now, when people
they're
so
about halfway done.
So when people say that sewage is dumped into the Willamette, is that really true? That's not just a thing that people say is sort of a shorthand for describing how polluted it is.
Well, it's true when it rains. It doesn't happen when it's not raining.
So there isn't like a pipe or something somewhere that just goes right into the river?
Well, there is a pipe. It's called an overflow pipe. So
right.
When it rains, there's too much water and sewage in the pipe, so it overflows into the Willamette.
Now,
we've actually fixed that on the west side of the river, and we're fixing it on the east side of the river right now. If you've heard of the west side big pipe or the east side big pipe,
right.
Exactly what they convey, a big pipe that intercepts those sewage overflows and takes it up to a treatment plant in North Portland.
Here's a dumb question. So this is like a long time ago. Was it just somebody's idea? Like they just had all the sewage and they didn't know what to do with it, and somebody, decades ago just said, well, we'll just put it in this river. Nobody will ever notice. Is that how that happened?
Well, you know, it really happened centuries ago, and it happened in virtually any city that the water was always viewed as a way of taking sewage or pollution and taking it somewhere else.
All right.
And that's really how those things came to be.
We're talking with City Commissioner Dan Saltzman. So we have here a series of small, brief, concise questions in bullet point form submitted by the audience. Now, these may or may not fall under your aegis. So
okay.
If these are things you can speak to, fine. If not, you just tell us who to yell at, and we'll take our complaints to the appropriate parties.
Okay.
All right. We have this. This is from a guy named, I think his name was John or Jake or Jack or something. He wanted to know, and I'm quoting now, what is the deal with those four-way stops that have no stop signs? And you know what I'm talking about. They have those, and they're all through Southeast, where it's these intersections in sort of suburban neighborhoods where there are two streets intersecting, and there are no stop signs anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So doesn't that seem like an accident or perhaps a series of accidents just waiting to happen?
It does. I mean, it does. I can't tell you what the policy rationale is. That's really our transportation department.
So who is the person that I would yell at about that?
Well, Sam Adams is the commissioner in charge of transportation.
Sam Adams. Okay, yeah. Excellent. Because that's a thing that just seems weird. Like it doesn't, and again, I know this is not necessarily something you oversee, but it just seems bizarre. It doesn't seem like a stop sign could possibly cost all that much.
No, you're right. You're right. I think there is something like a basic rule of the road, though. If you approach one of those intersections, you're supposed to defer to the person to your right.
Yeah, but let's be honest. In Southeast, everybody's drunk most of the time anyway. So this is just, the rule of the road is really, that kind of goes by the wayside around 10 o'clock every night. We can speak as men.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Let's see. What else do we have here? Is a la carte cable selection available in Portland, Oregon? And if not, will it be?
Well, that's a good question for me. I do actually oversee our cable and franchise office, too. If a la carte means you design your own basic service.
In other words, that I really want to watch like TBS, but I'm obliged to pay for the Golf Channel as well, even though I don't want it.
Right. I think that's, it's not something certainly the city prohibits. It's a question of whether, Comcast and, Quest is getting into the video business too, whether they don't want to provide those types of things. Particularly now that Quest is getting into the video business, I think that'll provide more competition and consumers are more likely to see a la carte packaging as a choice.
Now, is this Quest or is it Verizon? There was some
actually both. Quest is Verizon's working more on the in the suburbs,
mm-hmm.
but actually Quest is in the process of getting a video franchise for Portland itself.
Okay.
There will be some competition now. That should help.
Talking to City Commissioner Dan Saltzman. Next question. To your knowledge, and this is just to settle something we were having discussion about on the show. To your knowledge, is Portland classed as the most bicycle-friendly city in America, or are we in the top 10? Do you know where we are there on that list?
Oh, we're probably in the top 10, I would say.
Now, do you know what, in your opinion, either as city commissioner or just a person who lives within the city, could be done to make Portland more bicycle-friendly, and will that be happening?
Well, we are actually pursuing what's called a platinum ranking, which is like one of the top rankings a city can get for being bicycle friendly and accessible.
Mm-hmm.
It involves providing more off roadway trails, provides more opportunities for people to make it easier to commute via bike. It's basically about safety and, it basically comes around safety and convenience.
Excellent. All right, just a couple more here. We'll wrap it up. I know you're a busy guy. Just if I may inject a slice of editorial opinion here, really, why can't they get the Burnside Bridge to just work properly and to be functional? Doesn't it seem to you like they ought to just sort of, there is a concept in schoolyard athletics called the do-over. Doesn't it seem like they ought to just get rid of that whole thing and start from the ground up and make it work this time?
I couldn't agree with you more. Actually, the county oversees bridges, not the city, but it does seem like the Burnside Bridge has been either constantly under construction or
closed.
I mean, it does seem, it seems almost like planned obsolescence. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
All right.
Not to scare you, but it's also supposed to be our lifeline bridge in case of an emergency.
Oh, great. Yeah, I feel that's like every time I go over to Selwood Bridge and there's a big sign there saying, if you're in a truck, you'll cause the bridge to collapse into the river.
Right, yeah.
All right. We do have a couple brief calls, and then we will let you get back to your day, my friend. Steve, you're on with City Commissioner Dan Saltzman. Hello.
Hi, Greg. Hi, Dan.
Hi.
I just wanted to thank you, Mr. Saltzman, for making the city building inspectors play nice.
Well, thank you.
That was they used to be a real they used to be really mean, and by mean I mean expensive, and and now they're much better. So, thank you.
Well, good. I mean, customer service is something we've worked hard on in that Bureau of Development Services, our building inspectors.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you,
thanks
sir.
On.
All right,
thanks.
I got Steve, and let's see, we got one more here. Hi, SG, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
This wasn't actually for Commissioner Saltzman.
Oh, way to take us off the point. Thanks.
It was anecdotal evidence about police arresting cyclists.
Yeah.
So last night I was riding my bike at the zoo with a handful of my friends, and we were riding through the parking lot of the zoo, and there's a stop sign apparently in that parking lot.
Right.
And there was five police cars set up waiting for us to go through the stop sign in a parking lot.
Yeah, we're losing your phone, so I don't mean to interrupt you. We're kind of losing your phone there, but we were talking about the fact that in the last few weeks it seems like the Portland police. I don't know whether it's like a revenue generating thing or whether there's been complaints from construction workers, but it does seem like cops are out there in force, really kind of trying to nail bicyclists for any number of infractions lately.
Well, yeah, I'm aware that they have been in the last couple of weeks. I don't think it's a revenue generation. I think it really is, you know, a desire to be balanced and make sure that cyclists understand that they are subject to laws as well.
Excellent. All right, City Commissioner Dan Saltzman, thank you for coming on. On
sure.
The classic 1 to 10 scale, where would you rate your experience on the Rick Emerson Show?
Yeah, I'll put it at a 10.
God bless you, sir.
I'm happy to come back.
Before, thank you. That's the answer we were looking for, and it spares me the embarrassment of asking you and then you saying no. Before you go, City Commissioner Dan Saltzman, what is your favorite Billy Joel song?
Oh, the one about New York City.
That's such a great answer. If I did not know you worked in politics, my friend, I would surmise it from that reply alone.
I can't think of the title, but you know the song, right?
New York State of Mind?
Yeah, New York State of Mind.
Oh, see, I thought it was a bluff. I thought you were just making that a stone bluff right there.
No, New York State of Mind. That's the one.
That's
thank
like, you know, asking about your favorite Sinatra song, and you go, you know, the one about dames. All right, City Commissioner Dan Saltzman. Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
All right, Scotty, you want to make sure that you get his thank you so much. I appreciate it. There you go. All right, there you go. That was not an abortion of an interview.
It wasn't. But the bicycle thing just pisses me off because I've been almost squished so many times by cars who will not share the lane with me, and they never get pulled over.
Well, that's my thing.
But I mean, it's like, oh, I don't stop at a stop sign, so I have to pay $300 freaking dollars because there's nobody coming and you have nothing better to do than sit there and stare at bicyclists.
It's not that I don't think that bicyclists ever cause problems, because they do. I'm the first to admit that. There's all kind.
Some are very annoying.
I see bicyclists out there both when I'm biking and when I'm in the car. Like when I'm in the car, I see bicyclists all the time that really are just, as I said, it's like they're going out of their way to just be a-holes. You know what I mean? They're just dicks. And so I certainly appreciate that. By the other, I don't know. On the other hand, though, there is also something called, a triaging. There is a prioritizing of jobs and of tasks. And it really does seem like we got all kinds of real problems in this city that could be attended to before the cops are sitting there, literally just sitting. And I'm not blaming the cops for this, because they do what they're told to do. But cops literally just sitting on their asses, as that guy said, waiting to catch a bicyclist who's going through a stop sign in a parking lot.
Yeah, but as every day I'm like holding my breath as I'm even on a side road and someone just goes whizzing right by me with their side view mirror almost whacking me. Nothing ever happens.
Well, and the other thing you get is you get guys in cars. And again, it's not like I'm some critical mass guy. I mean,
but I'm very respectful of the road, and I stop at stop signs and at stoplights.
And but you'll get those guys who, the other complaint you'll hear from people in cars sometimes about bicyclists is, they will say, well, you know what, if you're a bicyclist, what you ought to do is if you have to be in the road, that's fine, but you ought to be over to the right of the cars. But, of course, the reason that doesn't work is because if you are to the right of traffic when you're in the road, all that has to happen is some guy parked in his car has to open the door, and you are going to hit the door, you're going to take off his door and shatter your spine when you go over your handlebars.
Well, the ordinance states that you're allowed the full lane if there are obstacles in your way. And you're supposed to, so if you can't be on the sidewalk, because a lot of places it's illegal, then you are supposed to ride on on the far right-hand side, but if there are cars parked on the right-hand side, you're allowed the full lane because those are obstacles in your way to stay out of traffic.
Yeah, it's just so...
And people don't understand that.
It does seem like a non-judicious use of our police resources.
It's scary because it's life-threatening. It's not like, oh, hey, I'm going to call you at 3 a.m. It's like, hey, let me run you over with my car and kill you.
Oh, yeah. No, and again...
It's a life or death thing. We shouldn't be talking about this.
No,
we're both going to get all worked up.
No, it's fine. And again, I think people know where it's coming from. I'm not some big bike activist or whatever, but I am with you on the fact that I have never once seen a guy pulled over for nearly plowing over a bicyclist, mm-hmm. ever. But by the same token, I'm also the first to say that the few times I have nearly been hit and killed by a car, or hit at least, I never have the presence of mind to get the license number because I'm always
freaking out. Yeah.
I'm always busy like peeing myself and going, Jesus Christ, I almost died. So I never... That's one of those things where traffic cameras would really come in handy. And I know that, I'm not wild about traffic cameras, but it does seem like if they're already there and they're already in existence, it does seem like that would be a nice use for those, is that every time you get some guy in a bicycle who's nearly run down by some moron in an Escalade, it would be nice to be able
but
to...
But seriously, do you see the police out there, looking for cars who are hurting bicyclists? No, they're camped out at Water Street,
right,
waiting to see if a bicyclist is going to run a stop sign so they can charge him $300. I'm not saying all police, but, I mean, the people who are stationed doing it, couldn't they be doing better things with their time, like watching actual traffic?
Well, the frustrating thing about that is down by OMSI, there is, I mean, for all intents and purposes, there is no traffic down there. That's the really frustrating part, is there are no cars driving through there. I mean, it is bereft of automobiles. So it just, not only is it irritating, it just seems pointless and illogical. And I know that Dan Saltzman, I'm not trying to talk about him badly after he's not, but I'm saying, whether it's a revenue-generating thing or not, obviously, even if it were, nobody from the city is ever going to come on and say, well, yes, we're short on cash, and so we need to ticket bicyclists at $250 a pop. But it's hard to believe that it's anything but a revenue-generating device when it's done in a place where there is, fundamentally speaking, no traffic to be interfered with. I just ended the sentence with a preposition. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Well, we should break here, but before we're actually on time for once in our miserable life. So we'll break. We'll come back with Rachel McGrath. We'll see how uncomfortable and awkward that can be. Tim Riley around the corner. We'll talk to Clyde Lewis. Chris Sneathan will join us later on to talk about his experience with Joey Chestnut and a rib-eating contest. Dick Van Patten, quite positive. Scotty apparently is on the... Scotty's on the case. He does believe he's locked down, Dick Van Patten. At 2 o'clock, Chad, the first kisser, will come in for his audition today as we endeavor to help Scotty keep off the smoking teat. And more of your phone calls. It's 503-733-2970. You stay there. Why, hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. I was walking by Scotty on the way to the kitchen to get more coffee during the break, and he was just giving me a full-on high five. Slam dunk! You nailed that Dan Saltzman interview! Thank you, Scotty. I appreciate it. Your words of affirmation are worth their weight in gold. 503-733-2970 still to come. Clyde Lewis, Chris Sneathan. Chad is going to be here later on. We have more of Tim Riley, more of Scotty J, more of your phone calls. It's all very exciting. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show live from Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent Rachel McGrath. Why, hello, and how are you today, Rachel?
I'm very well. How are you?
Dandy is what I am. I am dandy. I'm fantastic. I'm fantabulous. I'm wonderful. Let's talk about some people who are none of those things, some people who are reprehensible and vile in almost every conceivable manner, fashion, and form. That would be the Roman Catholic Church, especially the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. So... let me ask you this. These guys, the church, they're ponying up $660 million, that's with an M, $660 million to settle how many claims of abuse?
508.
Now, does that mean, I mean, I guess it must, but does that mean that all 508 people agreed to this? If one person out of these 508 claims had held out, would the church be going? Because they were going to go to trial today, weren't they?
Yeah, well, actually what was going to happen, there were going to be a series of trials, beginning with the first one today, in particular cases. And so the settlement comes ahead of that, which means that those cases no longer will be tried. But what, not all of the victims, of course, are still alive to even know about this settlement, because, of course, the abuse claims stem back 50, 60 years. The earliest one was in the 1940s. So some of those victims are not here today. And what was quite interesting and poignant was that there was a minute silence held in the courtroom in Los Angeles after the judge officially approved the settlement in memory of those victims who, at the end of the day, did not get their day in court.
It seems a little... This works out to something like $1.2 million for each of the people who filed a complaint against the Roman Catholic Church in Los Angeles. Is, this may seem like a crass question, but $1.2 million or whatever it is that tax-free? Do they have to pay taxes on that?
I believe they do. I think they do. I don't know for sure. You've caught me out there.
The only reason I ask that is because, and again, obviously it's not something that I went through, and so it seems a little maybe improper of me to sort of question their motives, but it does seem... Well, let me just put it this way. I'll be very blunt about it. As a fallen Catholic, as are most of the people here on the Rick Emerson Show, it would have been tremendously satisfying and gratifying to me to see Cardinal Roger Mahoney on the stand just sweating like the scurrilous man he clearly is under some sort of cross-examination as he was forced to explain how it is that he systematically covered up decades of sexual abuse of children. And it is very disappointing to me that that's not going to happen. And the reason it's not going to happen is because all of these victims apparently had a price at which point they were no longer wanting to press charges or to file these suits. So I guess the likelihood of the Cardinal ever testifying about this, that is no longer going to happen. Is there any future in which he would ever be held accountable for this?
Well, he's been held accountable in some way by this settlement, in the sense that the Archdiocese now has to make public a vast amount of documents which clearly show the cover-ups over the years, before Cardinal Roger Mahoney became the head of the LA Archdiocese, and in the years since he did. These documents will show how priests accused of sexual abuse against children were moved from parish to parish, were put on sick leave, were basically allowed to continue their ministries. And the church has fought very, very hard for these documents never to be made public. So in one sense, although some of the alleged abuse victims outside court today said, you know, that Cardinal Mahoney's apology rang hollow, that, you know, he was part of this whole cover-up and he's basically saving his own skin because now he doesn't have to be hauled into court and testify. Others are saying at least we've been vindicated, at least those documents are going to be made public, or the majority of them, and people will finally know the truth about all of the abuse allegations and the fact, you know, we weren't making it up and this is what the church did.
Here's a really dumb question, because I'm not a terribly bright guy about something. So let me ask you this, to whatever extent you know the answer. Okay, so these civil suits are not going to go forward because they've paid this $660 million settlement. Yet, if the documents show that, for instance, Cardinal Mahoney knew about sexual abuse of children or allegations of same, and then took these priests and covered it up by stashing them in some parish in Wisconsin somewhere, is that not a crime? Where are the cops coming and taking him out for aiding and abetting? Why is he not being handcuffed and stuck in a cell somewhere and being prosecuted for covering up a crime?
Well, of course, this was a civil litigation against the Archdiocese. So, of course, there's no criminal charges involved in that. And I think, to be honest, it's something that perhaps all sides have agreed on, that this is going to be the line in the sand. And, you know, you can argue one thing, other people will argue another. And I think that all those involved actually just want to draw the line in the sand and for this settlement in and of itself to really make the truth known about what was going on.
All right. CNN radio correspondent Rachel McGrath in Los Angeles. Thank you, Rachel.
You're welcome.
All right. There you go. Rachel McGrath in Los Angeles. I don't want to continue to press her on this because she's not a lawyer. But it doesn't make any sense to me. If I'm living with some guy, if I got let's just not even say it's my parents, let's say it's my foster parents. If my foster parents are sexually molesting me, I mean, if they're just abusing me constantly, it's still a crime whether I press charges or not, isn't it? I mean, don't the cops come and arrest them and stick them in a cell somewhere? And doesn't the state prosecute them even if I choose not to press charges? Because that's the whole thing with domestic violence, right? Like, if you place a domestic violence call to the cops, and the cops come to your house, they have to arrest somebody. That's the law. Even if the woman recants her story, as she often does, the cops still have to come and arrest somebody. So, I'd like maybe a lawyer just to clarify that so I understand. That doesn't make any sense to me. Just because the kids are settling, it doesn't, I mean, that doesn't negate the fact that it was a crime and that the guy was aiding and abetting felons and the abuse of, and was obstructing justice. Just makes no sense. I really honestly don't understand how the law works sometimes. And I don't mean that in some sort of a, what are we coming to way. I mean, I really honestly don't understand the logistics of how the law works. I mean, so apparently it seems to be that you can just be a serial criminal for like 35 years. And if the people that were the victims of your crimes just choose not to press charges, then it's like fine. And the state is, you know, doesn't, has no interest in prosecuting you. It just makes no sense at all. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the Reverend Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, it was a year ago today that a Hillsborough neighborhood was shot by an airplane crash into four homes. It was the Big Air Show. That's when a vintage British fighter crashed near the neighborhood, demolishing one home and damaging three others. Nobody on the ground was hurt, although some of these houses have people in it. The pilot was killed, though. And another house with people inside had significant damage, but nobody was hurt there. So one house, let's see, has been fixed, another rebuilt, and another just a vacant lot now. I went over there the other day. People just took the money. I'm not coming back here.
Not unlike being one of your tenants.
That's right. One of my tenants just got a new house.
Hey, the front of my home seems to be missing.
Well, a man told a 911 dispatcher he was surrounded by police officers with their guns drawn and needed help. Officers came across Dana Sheldon while investigating a disturbance outside a bar. Officers checked him out, found no problems, and told him to keep moving. Apparently, he made a 911 call to report he was surrounded by Largo police officers, and he appeared to be intoxicated. He was arrested and charged with misdemeanor and misuse of 911. Anybody hear about that the big earthquake in Japan today? It was a big one. It was a 6.8, and the second one was even bigger. And so far, let's see, it was, it set off a fire, and the explosion and the leakage of radioactive water from a nuclear power plant.
We're hearing that the fire is out and that people have flown up from Tokyo to investigate what may have caused it. It's apparently the first time that an earthquake has ever caused a fire within a nuclear power plant here in Japan.
Gamma Ray was unavailable for comment. Well, you know that's exactly... You know that that's exactly what goes through the minds of a lot of people. There's an earthquake in Japan followed by the release of radioactive, and then somewhere there's like a sea urchin that's growing to 5,000 times its normal size and developing the ability to fly and breathe fire.
Daryl Gibson of the Kyoto News says hundreds of people have suffered injuries from the earthquake.
This is a fairly serious earthquake. Our death toll is up to 7 now and at least 800 injured. Fortunately, a lot of those people are not seriously hurt.
America's first Muslim congressman has provoked outrage by apparently comparing George W. Bush to Adolf Hitler and hinting he may have been responsible for the 9/11 attacks. It's almost like the Reichstag fire, said he. Kind of reminds me of that. After the Reichstag was burned, they blamed the communist. And that put Hitler in charge of the country. He could basically do whatever he wanted. To the applause from his audience of 300 members of Atheists for Human Rights, Mr. Ellison said he would not accuse the Bush administration of planning 9/11 because, you know, they'll put you in a nut box and dismiss you.
Yeah, yes, they will. Yes, they will, sir.
The president will veto a bipartisan plan to extend medical benefits to poor children. The plan runs out at the end of September.
Well, all right. I mean, really, that sentence just sums it all up, doesn't it?
Pretty much.
I mean, really. Look, President Bush, here's something to give medical benefits to poor children. Well, where's my veto stamp? I mean, that just... And you picture him doing it, just rubbing his hands together with Scrooge McDuck-esque glee. Then just running off and diving into...
With a bunch of smiling children around him. One black, one white.
Holding hands in front of the camera.
Big smiles.
And then just...
Waving American flag.
Going off to dive into a vault full of shiny coins. Yeah, fantastic. What are we doing here? Well, let me do these first so I can answer this and get that. Hello. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. You have a priest answer.
All right. No, actually, I don't have an answer. I just have kind of something else. That, you know, that whole thing with the archdiocese just paying off the victims kind of seems like the same thing that Michael Jackson did to his supposed victims also.
Well, it just...
There weren't as many victims.
Yes, seriously. Yes, Michael Jackson's only one man. Even working around the clock, he can't hope to match the Catholic Church. They really do set the bar so high for, you know... They really are the gold standard of child rape, sir. You can't challenge them. They've got it down to a science.
That's true.
It just doesn't make any
true.
It doesn't make any sense. Legally, I just don't understand why.
Well, I agree, and like they just paid him some money and it went away. So did Michael Jackson. Like no one, like there was no criminal investigation that I know of.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like money ought to be able to buy your way out of a criminal prosecution for something.
Jesus. It doesn't seem like it, but it seems to happen over and over again.
That's what I'm saying. All right, thank you, sir.
All right.
One more. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick. How you doing?
What's up?
As I understand it, the reason why they can't proceed with criminal charges is child molestation has a statute of limitations on it. In other words, if the acts were committed in the 80s and 90s, there's no physical evidence, and I believe it's 5 years after the last incident.
So the child molestation does, but is there also a statute of limitations on, like, aiding and abetting and obstruction of justice? Because that's the thing. Like, I understand you can't go get every priest who is, like, diddling an altar boy or whatever. But
Right. My
whole thing is this cardinal, you know, Roger Mahoney, who was the guy for many years who would find out some priest was sticking it to a little kid, and he would take the priest and hide him out, like, in Louisiana somewhere. Like, that's the guy that I want to see nailed. I just want to see that guy just completely, held his feet to the fire for that. So I wonder if there are statutes of limitations on that.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, because if the last incident that's reported by these, you know, these 500 victims was, let's say, 1998 or something like that, well, then he only obstructed in, let's say, into 1999.
Boy, you were talking about a guy who's just, that guy's going to get his. That guy, I'm telling you, and when I say get his, I mean, of course, in the afterlife, when he appears before Jesus.
And I'm assuming anally as well, so.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from groundzeromedia.org. We'll just reset and we'll come back and do some more news here in a few. There's really no way to continue there right away. Our good friend Clyde Lewis. Hello, sir.
How's it going?
Oh, you know. What's up in the world of all things scary and filled with oog?
Well, I just recently finished 12 episodes for online that can be heard now at ideocast.com.
Yeah, I saw that. I got this little MySpace bulletin you sent out about that.
Yeah, and it's some really good shows. I mean, we've got about 12 that are done, and it's done on this website that's pretty much, it's patterned out in a way that you can get more information off of the stuff that I put out there just to show that I'm not totally out of my mind. But, it's available on ideocast.com, and it's a really amazing service, and I'm very happy about it. And it's pretty convenient, too. I mean, it's like you can, basically fix it yourself and put it together yourself and put the stuff online, and it's there available for people to listen to if they want to. So
excellent. That's Ideo with an O, right? Ideo.
Yeah, it's IDEO.
Yeah.
cast.com. So if you ever want to stay up late and turn out the lights and turn on the show, it's right there for you to hear. So I mean, a lot of great shows too.
What's going on at Dante's tonight?
Well, tonight I'm just going to be ranting and raving about some things. There are a few things I want to talk about. I don't know. I got a lot of things on my mind. I had some things happen to me this week that were really kind of sad and setback. We had a setback in the neighborhood, and it was really kind of a sad thing. And I don't know if I want to talk about that too much, but it's about, you know, I don't know, Michael Moore's sicko's out right now, and a lot of people are concerned about how healthcare in this country is and what's going on. In fact, USA Today just had an article about some of the things, the breakthroughs that have happened in the past, I think, 21, 22 years. But the scary part is that more people who are young are dying these days, and it just seems to me it doesn't seem to fit, and a lot of weird things are going on. So I don't know if I'll talk about that. I want to talk about the Pope a little bit, and how he said that all religions are fake except the Catholic Church.
He wears red ruby slippers.
Yeah, he does. And also, there was a congressman who compared Bush to Hitler. Surprise,
he was the Muslim guy. We were just talking, Ellison.
Yeah.
He also swore. I was sad this wasn't a bigger deal. He was sworn in on a Koran instead of a Bible.
Wow.
I was kind of sad that there weren't riots or something about that. I was hoping that that would spark some sort of huge violent conflagration in the heartland.
Well, I mean, you know, they're waiting for something huge. I mean, it was like, I mean, I've been saying at the Ground Zero Lounge now for the past couple of months, I've been saying, you know, August is when they're planning on this whole, what they call the Cirque de Terror or whatever, Cirque de Terror or sure. Terror Spectacular.
It's an exciting new carnival coming to town.
Yeah, it's called Terror Spectacular. It's supposed to be coming to a town near you soon, and they're planning on this. And so it just seems to me that it's all being planned out. It's all being carried out. It's just going to be
all
just
gonna
a mess
die.
This summer. I don't know if we're all going to die, but it's just not going to be fun.
Okay, there you go, Clyde Lewis.
That's pleasant, isn't it?
Thank you, sir.
Smile and have a great day.
You too, and may the good news be yours. GroundZeroMedia.org, and tonight at Dante's, 8 o'clock. Fantastic. There you go. Pick me up, as always. All right. Hey, by the way, before we continue here, just reminding you that we are selecting five glorious bastards this week to award a pair of tickets to the Rose City Rollers bout, which is coming up this Saturday night. Winners, now, this is some of these we'll be doing on the air, like the glorious bastard of the week. But a lot of the rest, I think you're just going to receive an email in your inbox. It is going to be a giveaway for glorious bastards only. You will receive an email in your box sometime this week if you are one of the winners. If you haven't signed up to become a glorious bastard, you ought to get it. This is from Susan Reynolds. She wrote this. I'm quoting that from Susan Reynolds. Get off your asses right now and join. And so you get picked just because you signed up. So membership, blah, 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 privileges, blah, 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 all that crap. So go to 970.am, 970.am to become an AM 970 glorious bastard. Glorious bastard. Five glorious bastards this week. Pair of tickets to the Rose City Rollers. We're giving away Rockfest tickets later on as well. So become a glorious bastard at 970.am. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Iraqi's prime minister is going to be in serious trouble. His name is Nouri al-Maliki. He claims his country will be ready to take over security from U.S. forces any time they decide to withdraw. Go ahead, we can handle the whole thing. Well, that's not what we want to hear back here, of course. And former Congressman Lee Hamilton says Iraqi forces aren't even close to being ready.
There is no chance that the Iraqi forces could completely take over by any time, and certainly even by the first of the year.
Apparently, the president had a little chat with Mr. al-Maliki about
what is the sound of a hose hitting his flesh.
Right, encouraged efforts to build a strong unity coalition and to pass key legislation. They also discussed improving security conditions in different parts of the country. He got an update from the prime minister, for instance, on developments in Diyala. The president reaffirmed his strong support for Prime Minister Maliki.
And we pulled out his teeth one by one with a pair of rusty pliers. All right. And we slammed his testicles in a drawer until he agreed to mouth the party line for us. Let's see. Hi, Paul, here on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, here's something to get you all riled up about your bicycle discussion earlier.
All right, hold on. Mm-hmm. Sarah, are you prepared to steel yourself?
Yes, please.
All right, we're girding our loins, sir. Go ahead.
It's not illegal to cause a near wreck or a near miss. That's why nobody gets pulled over.
Well, but it's illegal to drive recklessly.
No, but it's not recklessly. If you're passing a bicyclist and you happen to make them wobble and they crash into a car, you're not at fault.
Well, I'm not necessarily talking about that, although it is illegal to pass a bicycle that is in your lane.
Actually, it is not. If you have enough room and there is, you can actually cross the center line if no one's in the other lane.
I think you can cross the. I think you can go into the oncoming lane to pass, but I do believe, and I am not a lawyer, but I do believe that if, especially in downtown Portland, I do believe if a bicycle is driving in the lane in downtown Portland, you are required to treat the bicycle as though it were a car.
No, but if there aren't any obstacles along the sidewalk, like if there aren't any cars parked and the bicyclist is riding all the way off to the right,
if he's
you
on the shoulder, if he's on the shoulder, maybe. It's all very confusing. And I'm not even necessarily talking about that so much as I am just, I mean, look, seriously, it's not like any of us are perfect. And I'm the first to admit that occasionally I'm a bad driver, occasionally I'm a bad cyclist, whatever. But, you know, the one thing I really do watch for all the time, whether I'm in a bicycle or whether I'm in my car, is I pay attention to those crosswalks and the thing that says walk or don't walk. Because I can't tell you the number of times, if you don't look at that thing, like if I'm in my car, like at 39th and Hawthorne, which is just an amazingly dangerous intersection, there's that 39th and Hawthorne by the Hawthorne Theater, where there are always pedestrians, and I see people pulling up, going up Hawthorne, they hit 39th, and they just make a free right-hand turn, and they come within, like, inches of plowing into pedestrians. And you can say that pedestrians ought to be looking out, but the fact is, they're 100-pound sacks of meat, and you're a 2,000-pound car.
That's an episode of the Lotus, too, with that left-hand turn. People are always on their cell phones taking the turn regardless.
Seriously, you just got to assume that pedestrians are stupidly going to walk in front of you. I mean, you just have to.
Yeah, and if they have the walk signal, they do have the right-of-way.
Yeah.
It is legal to pass a bicyclist, even if he's in your lane.
All right.
It's just the way it is. And for Clyde Lewis to chew on, too, Al-Qaeda is doing this thing called infiltration instead of confrontation.
Is that a slogan you've created?
No, it's not, actually. It's actually on their website.
Really? On their website, really? Do they have a mission statement? Do they have, like, a thing where I can click to subscribe to their newsletter? I was here about, and
actually,
I say this.
You can.
This is one of those things, I don't even know if I want to say this, but I do hear a lot about, well, on the Al-Qaeda website, but, I mean, Al-Qaeda doesn't really have a website, do they?
Yes, they do.
They have a MySpace?
Do they? Who are their top
friends?
Seriously,
Facebook covered
up. They actually do have a website. I don't know the URL to it or the address or anything else, but...
Let me ask you right now. Hold on. Let me just take a survey in this room. If this guy knew the Al-Qaeda website, would we go there?
Of course.
As long as I was on the company computer, not at home.
Imagine having to...
News source. Somebody comes knocking on my door.
To explain that to Laura Klein. Let's do it with somebody else. Let's just, you know, find somebody else. We'll do it on Dan Bozick's computer. Dan, go upstairs for a while.
We want to look up some songs.
I need to use your selector program for a while. All right. Hey, if you find out the Al-Qaeda website, be sure to email it to me on an email account that has your real name attached to it.
Sure, no problem.
All right, bye now. All right, there you go. You know what I forgot to ask?
Do they have giveaways?
I wonder if they got lots of flash, lots of exciting.
Animation.
I wonder if their website says something about solutions, offering terror solutions around the globe.
Viagra from the Yankee Dog.
I forgot to ask Dan Saltzman about those "We reserve the right to refuse service" signs.
Well, they can.
No, but they can't. You keep saying I'm all disproportionately angry.
Let's find another city commissioner.
Okay, listen. Okay, seriously, everybody, stop. Blah blah blah. Listen right now. If you are a lawyer, call me right now. I swear to Christ, we're going to answer this once and for all. If you are a lawyer, or you know someone who has a desire and an invention they'd like to submit and package to industry, if you're a lawyer, call me now. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I'm going to get an answer to this right now, because I cannot go another moment not knowing. This email says, ask him about the "We reserve the right to refuse service" signs, and then it's signed, Rick, while I'm not sure I believe your ice, I do slide along with you every goddamn day. Oh, I'm sorry. Slide along with your goddamn every day. So there you go. Yes, if you are a lawyer, please to be calling us right now at 503-733-2970 about those signs that say, we reserve the right to refuse service to anybody. Here's my thing, Tim Riley, and I know that the news department is unimpeachable.
What if somebody comes into your establishment with a gun?
Okay, but... those signs that say we reserve the right, I always feel like those are there because the average customer doesn't know whether that sign is legal or not, and so it gives the business owner, because like 9 times out of 10, if a guy is causing trouble, a business owner will just point at that sign and go, look, you sir, we reserve the right to refuse service, so move on out. And the average customer, 9 times out of 10, will just go, well, all right then, and hang his head and leave. Mm-hmm. I think it's a legal bluff, in other words, because the actual customer doesn't... Because you couldn't say, I'm just... Using the example that everyone is legally required to use in a case like this, you couldn't just kick out every black guy and go, look, I reserve the right to refuse service, so all black customers must now leave.
Why don't people who work in bars, and they... Like, the person doesn't even have to necessarily be drunk. They can just tell them that they need to leave.
But I don't
and
think...
And they will not serve them.
I don't think the business can just do that at their sole discretion, though, because businesses that are discriminatory... Like, country clubs can't just kick out, like...
Well, isn't it like a posted thing, though? Like, if it is posted, just like if you're trespassing on someone's property, if it is a posted sign, then therefore you have to adhere to that.
But aren't there lawsuits about things like that? Like, don't... Like, country clubs, again, don't they get sued because there used to be what were called exclusive clubs, which meant no blacks, no Jews? And weren't there lawsuits about things like that in the past?
Possibly, yes.
Does that mean, like, a homeowner could refuse to sell to someone of a certain race or color?
No, you may not.
But see...
It's against the law.
Okay, but see, what if you had a sign? I'm like, I reserve the right to refuse service.
Then you wouldn't sell your house.
I don't think those signs are legal. I think those signs are a complete bluff. And I think they're put up there because the average customer just goes along with it. That would be my guess. I don't know. Is this a lawyer? Do you suppose he's really a lawyer, Scotty, or is he just pretend? Some guy.
Some hack.
Hello, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Are you really a lawyer?
They're not discriminatory because it encompasses all people, not blacks, whites,
Jews. We have to stop. Are you really a lawyer?
course I am. Why do you think I'm calling your show?
All lawyers listen to this
program. Yeah, seriously. Why would somebody possibly call up and give a false description of themselves? Use a Latin legal term.
Yeah, why would they do that?
Use a Latin legal term. Do it now.
Semper Fi.
No, you're not
ex
a lawyer.
Parte,
you're not.
Duces Tecum. There's plenty of those out there.
Okay.
Come on.
Semper Fi.
What's your question?
You do sound like a lawyer in that
you
sound
aggressive.
Like kind of a dick. All right. So
he's a personal injury lawyer.
Let me.
Thank you for saying that.
Do you have a cardboard bookcase at home that you stand in front of?
Please.
You sound like an unpleasant person.
I have a mahogany bookcase in my office. It's not cardboard. There's lots of legal books.
Did you really just unironically refer to a rich mahogany bookcase?
Yes. In my office den.
Oh man.
Look, wait till we look cheese.
The caller and ask the question.
Ask the question.
You're badgering the witness, Jim. All right.
Come on,
let me ask you this, so-called lawyer, Jim. So if I have a sign hanging in my Greasy Spoon restaurant and it says, "I reserve the right to refuse service to anybody," and then I just decide that I'm going to kick out anyone who is white but no one else, is that legal?
Sure.
So it's legal to discriminate at a business based upon race or ethnicity?
The sign says, I have the right to refuse service to anyone.
But I'm saying
it's white, black, Jew, it doesn't matter. This is a, take the tact of this is a right to work state. You could fire, if you're the boss, anyone you want at any time for any reason. Anytime you want, doesn't matter. Unless you're in the union, doesn't matter.
Now, what about
like the fact that Sarah's white? You could say,
and I don't.
You don't have to say it. You wouldn't be foolish enough to say it. But clearly, if you did that, you start kicking out white or black people. Who else is going to come to your restaurant? There won't be anybody left.
Now, could I just say that openly? Could I be like, you know, this restaurant serves everyone but whitey?
You could.
Is that legal?
You might get your ass kicked.
Well, is it legal to open a restaurant that won't serve a white man?
I believe it is.
Excellent. Well, that's my next move then. When radio doesn't work out, that's my next move.
Fire anybody you want. If you say, I don't want Scotty J to ever come here again, he's gone.
Well, I say that, but he doesn't listen.
Okay, thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
I think he was a lawyer.
I don't know, man. I really am unclear. He did sound like a lawyer in that he just had a
he was just unpleasant.
Tremendously unpleasant, off-putting personality.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, he wins his cases.
But he does have many books that smell of rich mahogany. That's so great. I don't even want to take any of these other lawyers. I don't even know how they could top that guy. All right, well, let's take one more. Hello, sir. Are you a lawyer?
Yes, I am.
Are you a real lawyer?
Well, I have a degree from the University of Kazakhstan.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Thanks. I didn't think so. Here's the reason why I want another lawyer. I want a second lawyer to give their assessment on that first guy, on Jim. I want a real
lawyer. There's no way we're ever going to be able to prove any of these people are lawyers.
Oh, those rich mahogany bookcases. We can always go over and look.
Seriously, do you wonder if he... I should have asked him to recite a few phrases like, have you been injured in an auto accident? And just ask him to...
small claims court.
Seriously, just to say...
Do you have your own helicopter to play with?
That guy probably hates us. I don't care.
Him and many others.
Get in line, friend. All right. Well, we should break here. Coming up, Chris Sneven, a good friend who writes for OregonLive.com, does a couple fantastic columns over there. He saw Joey Chestnut eat, I think, 7.5 pounds of ribs in Lincoln City, which is, you know, where all of the great things happen. Later on, Chad will be here. He's our first kissing auditioner. What else do we have coming up? Oh, we'll try to get to the top five as well. More from Tim Riley as well. It's 503-733-2970. You say, there's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Here's Dio.
Ride the tiger. You can see his stripes, but you know he's clean.
Very important. I have many leather-bound books. And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Genius. The anti-Jim email's really flowing in. Jim is a bastard and a liar, says this email.
No, no, no. He has a bookshelf that smells of rich mahogany. He wouldn't know that unless he was a lawyer.
And he was able to say Semper Fi. Says, I could tell Jim was full of crap as soon as he said you can't fire anyone you want or that you can... And then he called it a right-to-work state. It's actually an at-will employment state. Anyway, well, whatever. It just bugs me. It's just one of those things that I can never get the answer to. You know, like so many of those questions we have on the show, things that nobody definitively can answer. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. All right. You know who's waiting in the kitchen, Sarah?
Who is?
Waiting in the kitchen is Chad, our first kisser.
The earlobe kisser?
Yeah, he's the first guy to audition to kiss Scotty J.
Now, what does he look like?
He's like 100 feet tall. He's really tall. Kind of longish hair. Glasses, I think.
Now, why isn't he hanging out in the room with Scotty? Because usually Scotty brings all the guests in to spend some time with him before they come in
here. It is really telling, actually, that Sarah and I are in here. Tim has a newsroom down the hall where he prepares his news. And then down the hall the other way is Scotty. And Scotty has his cave where he does call screening, edits the podcast, does all that stuff. And usually when guests come in, they go down and they hang out in the call screening room with Scotty. And then he brings them down. This guy, Scotty, left sitting in the kitchen. This guy, Scotty, I'm so busy. He's just talking.
I'm so busy.
Uh-huh. So
I'm using all of my time writing. I'm so busy over and over again.
So alone among guests, this guy has been left to sit in the kitchen. Scotty won't even let the guy in the same room with him. You know, today's just an audition. So if you are, and we'll get to him in a second, our friend Chris Sneed is going to join us here in just a moment. But so the deal is that Scotty wishes to quit smoking. He's been a smoker for 20 years. He's on the patch right now. And I guess that, along with maybe he might be talking to the OMSI guys and using that. So that's the method by which he's going to quit smoking. He has agreed to put himself in the hands of the Rick Emerson Show in terms of punishment. And so the punishment Scotty will receive should he smoke is that he will be gently kissed on the earlobe by whoever the designated...
With the person's hands being gently cupped on Scotty's shoulders as they lean in and give them the open-parted lip kiss on the earlobe.
It even kind of grosses me out a little bit, really, just because I'm picturing Scotty just with a pair of hands, like, sliding over his shoulders. So we're auditioning a series of prospective kissers. So today, Chad, tomorrow, a guy named Deacon. Wednesday, I think, a guy named Bob is going to be, I think Bob is actually the first gay man. I think. I don't know. You know, I've completely lost track of who's who. So we'll bring Chad in here in a second, the first prospective kisser. Before we do anything else, we'll get Chris Neven here in just 1 second. Let's just finalize this. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. That Jim guy must have got his law degree from correspondence school because he's flat wrong.
Your phone is kind of bad here, but you're saying that the lawyer Jim was wrong about this.
Completely wrong. Can you hear me okay?
Not really.
No, that's unfortunate.
That sucks.
Yeah, well, all right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend Chris Sneven, pundit and man about town. Hello, Chris.
Hello, how are you?
I'm dandy. You saw Joey Chestnut at Lincoln City. Now, why did I not know he was going to be there? No one tells me anything.
I don't know. It was one of those things where the guy's 2 weeks out of being the biggest story, at least for a couple of days, from that Nathan's hot dog eating thing. You'd think everyone would have known that he was here.
I would think that Scotty J would have him booked on the program in studio, perhaps as a guest, but apparently that was not a priority to Scotty J, so it's okay. So this is, you sent me some photographs. I've got these great photographs on my phone that Sneven sent me of, like, a guy in a straw hat who was the host for the event, looking like a barbershop quartet leader, and then what's his name, Chestnut, just, now was it ribs they were eating?
They were eating pork ribs.
And so was this as part of a larger event, or was this the headlining event?
Well, it was the Chinook Winds Casino, I guess, throws annually. It's called a promotion called Smokin' at the Ocean, which is a big barbecue event where they've got barbecue vendors from all over Oregon. And then they had a guy from Idaho that was there as well. And so there's a big competition that goes on there, and then it's part of that is this eating competition, which I literally didn't realize was going on until after the Nathan's thing. I was kind of looking up Joey Chestnut to find out, you know, the guy ate 8 pounds of asparagus once, to try to, you know, get a better idea. And then I see this entry on there that he won the eating contest of Smoking at the Ocean last year, and he set a world record with, 8.5 pounds.
Ugh.
And so I thought, gosh, maybe he'll be back again this year. Nothing was really finalized online until Thursday or Friday, and then, you know, my mind was made up. I had to go see it.
So now was he eating ribs? Now these were with bones or without?
They were with bones.
And was this with a heavy sauce?
You know, they passed some of the leftover ribs out amongst the crowd. I'd already had
Oh, that's disgusting.
That's just wrong.
Well, no, they weren't used. They weren't picked over. They had these plates that they set up that were like 3 pounds of ribs each.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the contestants couldn't finish them all, so they, you know, handed them out to the crowd.
Okay. Did you have one?
I did not. I'd already had my fill on other products.
Okay. So how many pounds of ribs did he eat?
He had 7.5 pounds.
In how much time?
12 minutes.
Oh, was it disgusting to watch?
It was, you know, I was, as you saw in the pictures, I was about 20 feet and just right square in front of him. So I got a good look at him, and then he was on either end. He had two other so-called professional eaters. It was all business, and it looked effortless on his part. I mean, that was the thing that I wanted to see was, you know, A, how gross is it, and B, I know that after I sit down to a big steak and potato meal, I'm spent for an hour.
Yeah.
How does the guy act after 7.5 pounds of just meat in his gut? And the guy was up snapping pictures, signing autographs, smiling, laughing. It was like he'd just, you know, gone to McDonald's and had a Happy Meal. All right. I mean, it was incredible.
I have two questions. One, were you able to gauge the smell or the sound of the rib eating competition?
Neither.
Because that would just be too much. I'm getting kind of sick just thinking about what that smell might have been.
No, it was, you know, I was about 20 feet away. I mean, it was far enough away that I could get the visual, but didn't have to experience anything else.
Did you get an autograph or a picture?
I did not. I was too bashful.
Do you know if he makes any money on these things? I mean, like, does he have to fit this in between his normal gig? Or?
In the Oregonian this morning, they actually had a pretty good-sized article on him. In the last, he's got some sponsors. He had a T-shirt that was just filled with sponsors at the Nathan's thing. This weekend, it was just a regular promotional shirt that the casino would hand out. But he made an appearance just after the Nathan's thing for Pizza Hut, where he downed like 4.5 pizzones in 6 minutes.
Ugh.
Which, having personally experienced the pizzone, I can tell you that's one of them is plenty.
All right.
Anyway, he says he's made about $50,000 this year so far.
You know,
he's actually a college student in Northern California.
I do love this country. I really do.
Oh man. 12 minutes of the best and worst of this country just all rolled into one, where you're just like, what in the heck is this?
I'm amazed that there hasn't been some Hands on a Hard Body type documentary about this. I mean, it really does seem obvious.
Well, they did have an MTV, like one of those reality shows on it.
About an eater?
About an eater, yeah.
Interesting. Does it?
Wow.
I've made this observation many, many times now, but it does seem like we're just moments away from some sort of Will Ferrell movie where he stars as like world famous competitive eater, you know, the legend of so-and-so.
Exactly.
All right, real quickly, two things. One, while we're here, what is give the website out for where people may read your musings.
Gosh, I don't even know where I am anymore. It's blog.oregonlive.com/Chris Sneathen, I think.
All right, Sneathen, Sneethen.
Sneethen, or you can just hit the Google. I write there both my online musings, and then I also do a Winterhawks thing. I'm on hiatus this summer, so I'll be back probably Labor Day-ish.
Before we go here, quick thoughts on the inevitable and around-the-corner implosion of John McCain.
Boy, you know, he was a guy I really liked 8 years ago and actually voted for him even after it was all said and done. He's been dead to me since 2004, since he got up there and filleted George Bush on stage at the National Republican Convention. It couldn't happen to a greater guy.
All right. Thank you, my friend. All right, Chris Sneathen. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, there you go. There's Chris Sneathen, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. All right.
Too bad the funniest thing you said didn't make the air.
Yeah, too bad I had to bleep the funniest comment there. John McCain, dead to Chris Sneathen ever since John McCain stood on stage and gave a very intimate kind of pleasure to George W. Bush. All right, there you go. It's just not as funny. Just doesn't have the same ring, does it?
It really doesn't.
Back after this with Chad, the first kisser, and the prospective kisser anyway. More from Tim Riley. Like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7. Rick Emerson Show continues next. Here's Queen. Oh, man. Sneathen has apologized. I didn't know you couldn't say that word. He's promising to work clean from now on. Thank you, sir. All right. 503. It'll be unbleeped on the podcast. Speaking of the podcast, and then we'll bring in Chad.
We've had a lot of email about the podcast because, you know, we have the podcast at 970.am done by our own Scotty Vijay. And then at rickemerson.com, there's a podcast that we've been linking to for a long time that is a fan podcast. It's just it's sort of a bootleg podcast that our friend Thomas has done for a long time. And I understand that that one is getting ready to go away. He's just, you know, he feels like it's a lot of work, and I know there's some expense with that. And so, anyway, long story short, I think that's going for another week. And people have been asking us, hey, what about this podcast situation? Because the podcast at 970.am is high-quality audio, but the files have been really big, and it was not processed, meaning there were a lot of different levels to the sound. So, like, Tim would speak pretty quietly sometimes, or I would speak quietly, and then a piece of music would come in, it would be really loud. And so there was not a consistent audio level, and basically the upshot was is people would be listening on their headphones at work. They would adjust the volume based upon something, and then, like, that Fall Out Boy song would play, and we would deafen people.
Oh, yes.
So as of, I think, today, I think, the 970.am podcast is actually going to be a lot better. The file size will be smaller. And the sound should be more consistent and processed. So give that a shot. I think that's the day that kicks in. It's 970.am. All right. How shall we do this? Tim, have ye prepared news?
Oh, most certainly.
Okay. Well, do you want to do that? All right. So
I'd love to do that.
We'll do the news, and then just a few, we'll bring in Chad, the first prospective kisser, along with Scotty J. Like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Reverend Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
So it looks like we found all the missing bees. Remember, that was a big media event about a week or so ago.
Where have all the bees gone? Disappearing.
We can't find any.
Where have all the bees?
They've been found in Tucson.
Oh.
Now, a 400-pound beehive has been discovered in Tucson. The hive was on the roof of an assisted living center and housed about 250,000 bees. These are the missing bees everybody's been looking for. Investigators believe the hive has been in existence for 3 years.
I've never seen so many bees.
That was it.
Come on, you weren't expecting that when you were expecting a whole lot of bee afraid. Ha ha. Come on.
I was.
There's a lot of buzz about this story.
Well, I'll be. Bee experts remove 9,000, make that 9 square feet of hive from the building. So now all the bees have to find a different home.
They've been evicted. They've been put out.
They have been.
The whole thing, like, just a big pink slip on their home.
Let's do a clergy watch.
Here's your clergy watch for whatever the hell, Monday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Oh, well, I guess it would be nice.
Los Angeles Catholic Archdiocese has agreed to pay out $660 million to settle sex abuse claims by priests. Oh, against priests, I'm sorry. Colonel Mahoney said the settlement would end all the pending claims against the most popular archdiocese in the U.S.
Beginning last June of last year, with Judge McCoy's great assistance, we began our efforts to settle all of the cases that fell outside of periods of insurance.
Oh, God, it should just be... there's just no words. There's just no words for what a terrible person he is. Oh, he's going to get his. There's a huge hammer of justice waiting for that guy somewhere.
Colonel Mahoney says he has talked to those who have been abused.
I said, your life, I wish, were like a VHS tape where we could put that in, press rewind... Delete these years of misery and difficulty
and sincere
and start over when you were young and just before this happened.
I wish your life was a kinetoscope.
Mm-hmm. Mahoney said he learned something about talking with these victims.
I have come to understand far more deeply than I ever could the impact of this terrible sin and crime that has affected their lives.
Well, that's enough out of him for now.
Seriously, the guy ought to be attacked by
rabid. So now it's back to business as usual.
Seriously. God. All right, there you go. There's your clergy watch.
Well, Harry Harry Potter put his spell on moviegoers over the weekend. Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, the fifth film in the Potter franchise.
Why don't you laugh at that? I make the funny hive joke, and yet you laugh at Harry put his spell on moviegoers.
With Tim, it sounds effortless. You're just trying too hard.
Well, he took in close to $75 million in weekend ticket sales to bring its five-day total to $140 million.
Now, Tim, are you...
I saw it.
Sarah, did you?
No, and I think I'm going to go see it tonight.
See, and I couldn't see it without Lara. She would have killed me, so I had to wait. Now, you saw it.
Okay, Tim, how was it?
But I don't want to be the spoiler.
Oh.
Tim didn't like it.
I liked it, but not a lot.
Tim,
I almost only fell asleep twice.
So there you go.
In the very beginning. But then when it picked up the pace, I stayed awake.
Now,
that was even like the last one for me. It dragged on a little bit. I mean, I really liked it, but at some point, you know, you do get a little tired.
Well, I couldn't figure out what was going on.
That was Tim's comment, is that there seemed to be a lot going on. Well, and they're putting an 800-page novel into like 2.5 hours, something like that. Seriously, that book is longer than... I mean, I think the Lord of the Rings movies, the Lord of the Rings books are actually not as long. And yet, I mean, they're able to... You know, those are like 4 hours long. And yet the Harry Potter is like 2.5 hours, something like that. Yeah. And it's an 800-page novel. It's tough. You have to cut out... You either have to cut out whole swaths of stuff or just jam it all into this, you know, this minuscule time period. So...
Maybe my attention span isn't... as well oiled on a weekend. I don't really want to think that hard. This causes you to think too much.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't really know. I mean, it does seem like it's an almost impossible task to try to fit in that whole book in a 2.5-hour movie. Yeah.
Order of the Phoenix sold more tickets in its first 5 days than the first three Potter films in their initial week, but it did not match the opening success of 2004's Harry Potter and the Giblets of Fire.
Giblets of Fire.
The Boy Wizard knocked Optimus Prime and the Autobots from the top spot of the box office.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Tickets for Transformers dropped 49% from last week, bringing its weekend total of $36 million. Ratatouille cooked its way into third place with $18 million over the weekend. In the spirit of the summer, Us Weekly has released its first-ever Bikini Hall of Fame issue. Joey Bartholomew says these celebrities were chosen for their healthy approach to getting in beach body shape.
We're not talking people who've gone to extremes. I mean, these are people who actually look healthy and fit, who I think everyone can look at as good role models, and we even have... Some of their diet and exercise.
Is this the same from her daycare class?
I was just going to say, is this the same 9-year-old they always interview about Us Weekly stuff?
He's probably like the publisher. Her name is Joey.
Of course it is.
She says Hillary Duff was chosen for the cover of its Bikini Hall of Fame issue because of her healthy weight.
When she was 15, she said things were written about her that she was overweight or chunky, and it really damaged her and made her go to an extreme, and she was very strict with herself. And now she's really back into like a healthy mindset.
Pamela Anderson is the ultimate bikini babe.
Pamela Anderson is someone who is famous for wearing swimsuits, from being on Baywatch, from modeling. And people just think about her. She got married once in a bikini when she married Tommy Lee. So this is someone who knows about wearing bathing suits.
Go back and play
really?
With your Jackson Barbie.
Who knows about wearing bathing suits?
My brain feels all watery now. I'm just like whole sections of my cerebral cortex are just melting away. All right.
I think we just about exhausted the stack for today.
Really? That's impressive. Mm-hmm. It really is. Do you know how many things we haven't gotten to, though?
I don't know.
It's amazing. But we did a pretty good chunk out of these. Pretty good bite of the.
I think we peaked at Giblets of Fire.
There's nowhere to go from there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, greatest newsman in all the world. Back at 4, 5, 6, and 7, top of the hour, all the way through Tom Likas. All right, without further ado, let's.
Daddy J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Can I kiss you on the mouth? Please let me.
Good morning, Metolia.
All right,
where
do I go? All right, so we'll have one microphone for each of you. So we'll welcome now to the studio Scotty J and listener Chad along with him. Let
me move down. And no, we are not going to swap microphones.
Nope, I'm going to.
All right, Scotty, you can.
But you're going to swap spit.
Yeah.
Oh.
No. Not yet.
Wait, who said that?
Tim Riley did.
That was.
Damn you, nasty man.
Who called Tim Riley a nasty man?
Was that
man?
Scotty that you said that? All right. Well, you don't need headphones. We're right here.
Yeah, we're all in here, the room. Scotty.
I mean, if there's a caller, you can share headphones with Chad.
Sure.
You can put your cheek lovingly against Chad's cheek.
We don't want anything to cover your ears.
Yes,
Chad, I've met Chad
before. We want your ears all exposed.
Chad's a great guy. He actually bought me some drinks at the Likas show. So
really?
I met him before.
Nope. Trying to get lucky?
Crown Royal. No, actually, nope.
Trying just to, having fun. I was having fun.
All right, excellent. All right, so Chad, you are joining us now in the studio. Now, you are the first prospective kisser. Now, Sarah and I were talking about this during the break, and so forgive my ignorance. So this is a question that...
Did you notice how Scotty, when we approached a break, how he did actually bring Chad into the room with him finally?
Oh, once I finally
pulled
it out.
Like a bad person.
You're like segregating Chad. You're like keeping him all ghettoed in the kitchen.
I don't want to look at him yet, though.
No, seriously, I was behind on the podcasting, and right when I caught up, I went and got him. And
Really?
Showed him the cave.
Really? It's like I get the feeling
the
that if
cave?
You...
What the heck is that?
I get the feeling that if you could have kept him inside some sort of a glass bubble in the kitchen, that you would have done that.
Quite possibly. But I had plenty of snacks, so I was okay.
So now, Chad, now, what with all this confusion and the guys who are offering to come in, now, I've completely forgotten. Now, are you straight, gay, somewhere between? What is your deal?
Bi.
Okay, excellent. Yep. Okay, so you're the five on the Kinsey scale, as they say.
Sure.
All right. So, Scotty J, now, your preferred method for quitting smoking is the patch coupled with this OMSI business, right?
Yeah, I still need to follow up with them. Somehow.
What are you just sitting and thinking about it? Around to call you?
That's kind of like quitting smoking. It's a long, thinking, hard, drawn out.
This is how I know.
5,000
pick up the phone. See, so Chad is...
He's not ready. No.
Oh, I am ready.
I am a smoker. I know.
Oh, wait, so Chad is a smoker. So this is the best of all worlds.
Yeah, I know. Don't blow your smoky breath my way.
Oh, you're gonna get lots of his smoky breath, I believe.
No,
so,
look at Sarah. All right.
Tomorrow we have Deacon, who is the straight guy, and then Wednesday we have Gay Bob.
Gay Bob, the bread truck driver?
I don't believe so. I think they're two different people, but you know what?
Gay Bobs?
That can't be possible.
Is the bread truck driver's name Bob's?
Mm-hmm.
It's all very confusing. You know, I don't really know now that you ask me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bob and Bob.
I have no response.
Why do you...
Well, I don't...
No. All right. Okay. So, so Chad is the first prospective kisser. So now, Scotty, should you fail to quit smoking, and so you claim it is last Tuesday when you last had a cigarette.
Correct.
And how many cigarettes did you have last Tuesday?
I was somewhere in between two and three. I think
it was four. By the way, yes.
Okay. He's lying.
Yes, I'm just like, you cannot be trusted. Here's the
if
thing.
If they were your last cigarettes, you would remember how
totally,
many.
Totally, exactly.
It's that important.
Well, I knew last week, but, you know.
You know, the thing is, and Sarah and I have been talking about this. I mean, really, I have zero confidence in you even being honest with us about this.
That is a very good point.
I'll be honest. I mean, I'll tell you. If I smoke, I'll tell you.
Now, why don't we smell the inside of his truck?
Wow, that's a good idea.
His truck,
good,
yeah. He looks nervous. It's good. He is looking at me right now.
No, it's going to smell
well done.
Leather.
Well done, Sarah Dillon.
A rich mahogany.
Now, see, now and again, and I don't mean to be, mahogany. As the kids say, I don't mean to be bringing up old stuff, but here's why I don't necessarily trust you, because you already have, in the most unmanly of behaviors, you have already tried to Welsh on this a couple of times. Like last Friday, even up till last Friday, you were doing the whole, I know I promised as a man on my honor to do this, but I'm going to back out. Like, so it's just, how do we know that you will be honest going forward?
Because I'm going to be a man and be zen with it,
now,
I guess.
Now, again, now listen, that's it, I don't mean to be corny about it, but that's it. When you say, like, as a man, you are giving your word of honor.
Yeah, I know I said that last
You will
week,
lose your cred with the audience. Out, but, the audience is on your side with most things. You absolutely. Will lose the audience forever if they feel that if you are going back on your word as a man here.
Nope, if I fail, I will let you know.
So sure. You...
So are you saying again that you haven't smoked since last Tuesday?
That's correct.
Okay.
But what scares me is, the most of all, if I... You know, go to a bar or something like that and drink, I'm going to be tempted to smoke because they go hand in hand.
Yes,
and
they do.
Tough. They sure do.
Especially
with
someone smoking in my face.
Let's be very clear, and then I will not bring it up again, so that there is no misunderstanding, and this is the last time I'll say it. So you then are pledging on your honor as a man to volunteer. You will let us know if you smoke all or part of a cigarette. Going forward, from this point on.
That is correct.
You will volunteer that information to us
virtually. Even one puff.
That is all or part of a cigarette.
All
or
none.
So
I mean, smoking regardless.
So you will volunteer that information should it happen.
Correct.
All right.
I will.
Are we all satisfied with that?
Yeah. I still kind of want to get a polygraph
in here. I'm going to get OMSI on the phone so I can seek help so I can stay
well, and again,
in
you,
this program.
No, and you know what? And you are totally free to pursue whichever method you like. I mean, look, you can do like 900. You can be patch and hypnotized and OMSI and, you know, and a 12-step.
Acupuncture?
Whatever. Yeah, you can do anything you want. That matter to me. Whatever method you choose, totally fine with us, because the end result, of course, is that we wish for you to no longer be a smoker.
Right, and then I'll celebrate by running hood to coast, because I'll be all in shape.
Yes. Well, I'm telling you.
Forrest Gump style?
I'm just saying.
Forrest Gump style,
now
yes.
I am not a smoker, obviously, as you know, but I will say this, that the people I know who are heavy smokers who quit, they'll say that over the course of a few weeks, that you notice that, like, yeah, your food tastes different than your whatever.
See, I'm finding it hard to believe that if you were such an active smoker, as you say, and it's been a week since you've had a cigarette, how come you're not coughing a lot?
See, and I think he's not grumpy enough.
No, I have actually coughed a little bit today. And secondly, last time
because
I quit,
if you have 40 years, well, not 40, probably like
20
years of cigarette smoking there, and you haven't smoked for a week, that is going to already be loosening, and you're going to be having
and I
a
was
horrible
doing
hack.
That.
That's how I was.
Yeah. Wait, now hold on. Morning, well, we should ask Tim. Now, Tim, you were a smoker for some time.
Yes.
And then you quit. Now, what symptoms do you believe we should be looking for in Scotty? Susan Reynolds is talking about this too. What do you think Scotty might be doing physically that would indicate that he is not smoking anymore?
Not smoking anymore.
In other words, will he cough? Will he be jittery? I mean, what will we do?
I would say jittery and closer to snapping at everyone.
That was
He'll
last
hate
week.
Everyone. You'll
I
hate
was
everybody.
Ready, I was ready to kill last
Even
week.
Even people have
I
done
was,
nothing to you. You will only
I, was,
I hate you. I want you to die.
That's how I felt last week. I mean, I just, and my wife can attest because.
It's not even been a week. And you seem really pleasant for a guy who's not smoking.
Well, anything she would say to me, like, last week, I would snap and I would just have to, like, walk out of the room because it was just. I was hard to be around.
It was really bad.
Now, do you feel like the patch is responsible for the fact that you're on an even keel? Because you don't seem grumpy.
It's subduing some of that.
Now, how long are you supposed to keep wearing the patch for? Are you supposed to wear it forever?
No, usually it's like a month, but I've worn it for just 4 days before, not this time, because I'm actually trying to make it.
You've had it since last Wednesday.
Right.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
but
so 6 days.
But I've done it for 4 days before, and then I've quit for like a month or two.
Right.
So this time I'm going to actually do what the program says on the patch.
So there's a whole program for stepping down how long you wear the patch for?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
All right. Excellent. All right. Do we have any further questions? Anything about?
No, but you know what? I've been thinking about it, and I don't think we need to have him demonstrate how he kisses on your ear. I mean, I think it's enough to just sit there and talk to somebody and kind of find out a little bit about what he's about.
All right. Well, fair enough. I mean, I'm
okay.
I'm just saying I don't, you know.
No, and I know that you.
I don't. Wish to set a good example. I
don't
Maybe
care.
Maybe we should get acquainted first.
I think we should have a drink.
We were hanging out
in the closet.
Fantastic.
No. He's not my type. Not even close. He's not my type. No.
All right. Okay. So do we? So Chad. So what celebrity would we say Chad most closely resembles? Chad, who do you? Have you been told you look like somebody?
Well, you know, when I wear the beard, have my hair down, I have been told by more than a few people that I look like Brad Pitt circa, like, Legends of the Fall.
I can see that, actually. I can totally see that. Take your glasses off. I can kind of see that. I really can.
Kind of too.
Yeah.
But, Rick, what I'm thinking, who's the guy who does the voice of V?
Oh, Hugo Weaving.
Yes.
Really? A young Hugo Weaving.
Yep,
oh, wait, I can totally see that.
I think that's spot on.
Yeah,
okay.
Young. How old are you?
34.
You don't look 34. You look much younger than that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, it's the, no, I would say young Hugo Weaving. Yeah.
Wow.
You don't look 34 at all.
Well, I am in touch with my, you know, little spirit, whatever, but.
Well, I was just going to say, not only that, you see, I mean, you're really in great shape, too. I mean, you really are. Because Sarah, you were in the kitchen, Sarah's like, oh, what does he look like? And I'm like, well, he's really tall. I'm like, he's in great shape. The young, Hugo Weaving is also the, Agent Smith, Mr. Anderson, that guy from The Matrix.
Right on,
so,
yeah.
I can totally see that. All right.
When we were talking, you were mentioning rock climbing and water skiing, stuff like that.
I do yoga. I'm a brown belt in Taekwondo. Yeah, I mean, I stay active, absolutely.
Scotty sounds like somebody you could have a lot of fun with.
He actually is a fun guy. I met him at
the...
problem with this fun guy is he likes to drink and smoke, and that'll put me over
the
top.
Well, it's going
to
work out well for everybody, then.
I'll be a bad influence,
that's right.
I'm sure. I'm sure your wife will love that. Yeah.
Ah, works out. Well, yeah, so that's... So what does Mrs. J, think of your... Now, is she quitting smoking as well?
She's a cutie, by the way. Well, thank you. She wants to, and...
So that's a no.
The problem is never seem to get on the same, like, she doesn't, she
problem?
Quits, I don't.
Yeah.
But I think she was telling me just last night that she's going to join, so.
Join in helping, in joining the quitting?
Yeah.
So is she going to do the patch? She can do the same technique?
The patch, basically.
All right. When is
I
that going to
I don't know what
start?
Else she'll do.
I'm only asking out of curiosity.
For a fitness place, too, like a gym.
So
that
this is
help.
Now, when is she going to start? When is she going
to
go
I don't
off
know.
The?
I need to ask her.
All right.
I mean, it's because it's really tough for me. I mean, I can't even be.
Now,
around.
Does she smoke around you right now?
Well, outside, yeah. If I'm outside, then she's smoking outside, and I can, like, smell it, you know, and it bothers it.
Now, here's a dumb question, because I'm not a smoker, so I don't know this. Now, does cigarette smoke, like, if you're a smoker and you're trying to quit, does cigarette smoke itself actually smell good?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but later.
Even if you are a smoker and you want a cigarette,
after you quit for a certain amount of time, though, I've quit for longer than a month. I've quit for a year before. If you go to a casino and it's all smoky, it just smells just
delightful.
I hate it.
I know we got a break here, but I know that can be, like, when I was a kid, there was this place. I don't think I was even supposed to be in there, but there was a kid. There was a place in the mall when I was a kid called the Briar Shop, which was all. It was like a tobacconist or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they sold cigars and it was like the best smelling place on earth.
Totally,
it smelled fantastic. So, all right. So, I guess that's it. So, I will probably get a picture of you if that's cool before you leave.
Sure,
we'll do that. We'll get a picture. We'll see, because people are asking. If you don't mind, people are asking. We've got all, and they're all women, by the way, all asking for photographs of you.
Now, are you in a relationship?
No.
Also, he's available, Scotty. So should things work out, should there be any kind
okay,
of...
Okay, that's
for you.
I'm just saying, should there be a spark?
Come on now.
Look, you know, it's 2007.
I thought you were going to ask if he was...
What? If I was what? If he was...
You were going to ask if he was a straight man or if he was...
No. He's bi. Yeah.
Bi, okay.
Yeah. Oh, wait, and by the way, since... And as we break, you said, now, who is your type? If you had to pick a guy, who is your type?
Oh, jeez.
Somebody that everybody would know.
As far as, okay, have you seen Apocalypto?
Physically speaking.
All right, Apocalypto? Have you seen it?
I have not, no.
All right, have you?
No.
All right. Well, I'll tell you, and some listeners will know, because I do look for yoga bodies.
Mm-hmm.
I do like slim, athletic. I don't care how tall they are. As far as men go, as far as women go, it's a little broader subject, definitely, you know, because I do lean towards women. But, yeah, like the lead guy named Rudy Youngblood played Jaguar Paw, the lead, like, good guy in Apocalypto.
All right.
Great body, good-looking face. There you go.
That's freaking me out because I just look at you and I think about you look like Brad Pitt. It's kind of weirding me out, actually. All right, we got to take a break here. Chad, thank you so much for coming in.
Right on.
All right, back after this to wrap it up. It's 503-733-2970. Like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. Rick. Hey, attention, Scotty J. My name is Randy Rolofson. I am the drummer in the band Echo Hellstrom, who played at the PDX Teen Idol Contest. I didn't get a chance to talk to you at the contest, but I wanted to let you know I love your show. Scotty, these are the guys who have the Vertical Horizon thing going on. I would be more than happy to send you a CD if you are interested. Good luck with the Scotty J ear-nibbling interview. That's Randy. Yeah, Randy is the guy that prompted Scotty. These guys got the Vertical Horizon thing going on.
Randy?
Do you even know how that joke works? Are you almost done? What are you doing?
I think Scotty's edginess about the quitting of smoking has turned into giddiness. I think he's become a little giggly today. All right.
We're going to go out and smell his truck after the show, by the way.
Sounds so wrong.
I don't believe that, you know, the look of fear that he got on his face when I said we were going to go out and do it.
Now, I mean, it's too late in the show to start to open this can of worms, but it really does beg the question of whether we believe that he's going to be up front with us. He seemed sincere just now when he was giving us the word as
God
a man.
He's lied to me before.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
About what?
He always makes these little white lies.
Really?
Yeah. And then he'll tell me, he's like, well, I was lying to you about that, Sarah. This is what it is. He does have a tendency to fib. So I'm just saying,
we'll
just
go
casually,
truck.
We just have to just go smell his truck.
We should totally find out, though, if there is some sort of, like, a thing we can... Because, like, isn't Lindsay Lohan wearing one of those bracelets that senses if she has alcohol?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there's one of those bracelets you can wear that senses if you have tobacco. You know, if there's nicotine in your system.
Ooh.
We'll find out. We'll talk about that tomorrow. We'll find out. Rick, can you try and get Joey Chestnut on the phone for an interview? That would rock. Yes, I'm sure that'll happen any day now. Too busy trying to get Dick Van Patten.
All right, Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970, Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, it's Tim Riley, and of course, the PA is Scotty J., the gatekeeper's Dave Zinn. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Lisa Gutter, Rachel McGrath, City Commissioner Dan Saltzman, Chris Sneathan, and Clyde Lewis. All right, like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7. Join us tomorrow. As always, my friend, don't let the bastards grind you down. Do try to help the retarded, and watch out for snakes. See y'all then. Be safe. Bye.
I love my dead gay son.